go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we are, a minute past the hour on this Friday, the 22nd of February, 2013. This is The Horn, a little exercise in conversation radio emanating, as my dear friend and colleague John Fox just announced in the opener, from the hills and hollers of almost level West Pycod, Virginia. The Horn is easily found at headonradionetwork.com and on a number of streaming platforms for mobile devices, smartphones, things like that. Places like, or apps like the TuneIn app or the Stitcher app, Tuner Internet Radio app, Roku, Dar.fm, Streama, on and on we go. Podcasting is at WhiteRoseSociety.org under the subdomain for this program. And you can always get the podcast at iTunes, too. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Friday on the front porch. And I do think I'm broadcasting. We'll check the chat room. Just checking in on the chat room. It's slowly filling, beginning to fill up this evening. Good. Thank you, Cassie. Cassie says, I hear you. All right. That's a good sign. We had some internet burps last night. I apologize for those, but I got the file up to Ben Birch, so hopefully the podcast was not negatively affected. I hope we won't be burping tonight, but one never knows. It seems like when we talk about the military-industrial complex or crappy telecommunications. These things happen. Thank you, Robert. Loud and clear in Australia. Happy Saturday to you, Robert. And to all the friends and neighbors of the Horn family in those parts. A little reminder, this is a... You know this by now, unless you're new to the Horn, of course. This is a listener-supported effort. There is no corporate advertising on the Horn. There's no advertising of any sort on the Horn, pretty much, unless somebody has a message they want to get out. And in that case, we will happily deliver it. But this is listener-supported. And we had a challenge from Dr. Allen on the table last night, $100. We have, by beginning of showtime... Now, we have met $40 of it. Hopefully, we will see the other $60 in the course of this evening. We try to raise $150 a night. So, technically, that would be $210 we need to raise this evening. Just because we're in striking distance of finishing, of actually having handled the crisis from January and finishing off February and making March okay. And wouldn't that be nice? And March makes April, and April makes May, etc., etc., etc. That's how non-corporate broadcasting works. So the PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com. So too is the snail mail address, which I will now repeat. It is one of the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB. personal mail box. That's what that stands for. PMB 318 Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, W-V 25801. Checks, money orders, things like that. Please do not make them payable to Bob Kincaid. Please make them payable to The Horn, Head on Communications, Head on Radio Network, something like that. Because Bob don't get the money. And Wayne, boss man Wayne, is the one who goes to check the mailbox. And he does love getting mail. So, there we have it. And here we are on the front end of Friday on the front porch. We were supposed to get some sort of hellacious ice storm last night. Didn't really pan out. So we've had rather a nice day, for the most part sunny day here. If it's not where you are, it will be sometime. I noticed that, lo and behold, in the same 24-hour period where we were talking about... Oh, the goddess of irony. Well, in the same 24-hour time period where we were talking about the Kansas legislature and the Republican bill to make sure that nobody ever even so much as says the word sustainable while on the government dime, that the goddess of irony, operating through her weather subsidiary, dumped a flippin' ton of snow on Kansas. You Republicans in Kansas are going to enjoy the hell out of that snow when you don't have any more fossil fuels to burn to keep warm. You might want some of that renewable energy then, but, well, who's counting, right? Otne ute eitbre, the Anzas K Republican rays are. Don't you know? It's okay, they'll never translate. I wanted to share something with you by way of our buddy Scott in Sweden. I can always count on Scott for, how about that? Cassie telling me Princeton University owns the biggest wind farm in New Jersey. The future, it's coming. It's going to be great. Maybe. I can always count on our buddy Scott in Sweden to shoot something along that will be, well, he takes the world, the universe or whatever, and just turns it a bubble off plumb, and it all looks completely different, kind of like a Rubik's Cube. In regard to my discussion of the trip north to Wisconsin and the struggle up there to keep a badass hillbilly billionaire from blowing the snot out of the Pinocchio Hills and destroying the surrounding area, one of the last pristine watersheds in that region, and the fact that I'd seen some, well, you'll get the idea. Scott writes, "Hey, Bobby Rebob." I just like that. "I am so glad to hear that you are discovering the joys of the North. May White Fang forever leave your leg unhumped. It is lovely up here, especially in snowy winters. I hope you got out in the middle of the night under the stars. I actually made a point of doing that, yes. Silver moonlight on snow-covered forest and field is as close to religious awe as I ever get." I didn't get to the forest part, but, yeah, I can get it. I'd love to see the Pinokies in snow. Deep snow. "Still, despite your obviously tender descriptions of people enjoying themselves on the ice and snow, I cannot help but be struck by the goddess of irony. What a bitch. There you were in Wisconsin trying to do something positive about the environment, but your loving description of great outdoor winter Wisconsin has snowmobiles instead of cross-country skiers, vehicles on the ice instead of skaters. You didn't say it, but I'll bet the ice fishermen there use the chainsaw attachment instead of the manual auger. Want to bet? My old homeland drives me totally around the bend. Why are we Americans so hell-bent on using the internal combustion engine? We Swedes, yes, I'm now bi, do too, but mostly to get to the parking lot where one then attaches thingamabobs to one's feet to manually traverse the icy, snowy waste, not to pull some other loud, oily, smelly machine off the trailer and then roar off into nature. If you stop to think about it, roar off into nature, it's dissonant, isn't it? But Scott's absolutely right. And yes, I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. And I'm kind of clueless, too. I'd never seen a snowmobile in action, so... it's kind of like how my grandmother used to tell me the story of the first time she saw an airplane fly overhead. Yeah, right out here in West Virginia, and the sense of awe that she felt. Plane went over, and she went, aw. No, I kid. But not, no. Well, I mean, the ice fishermen, they'd driven their trucks out on the ice. Scott continues, are we Americans never going to get it? Nature is not a machine testing ground. Sorry about the rant. I don't want to always be complaining about America, but being close enough to Groundhog Day, it is a nation stuck in a state of perpetual arrested development. Not that we Swedes are perfect, we have a hell of a long way to go too. Swedes are too willing to take charter trips to tropical climates as some sort of self-awarded prize for conserving energy the rest of the year. There's a bit of disconnect right there, eh? Yet I wonder if too many Americans don't just skip over the conserving energy the rest of the year part and go straight to the gas pump to refill and drive full tilt while it lasts. Scott's notes are... and he provides me a visual of Homer Simpson in the famous painting, The Scream. And you know what? I think it's better than the original. But Scott always provides me a kind of a jumping-off place. And he's right in every way. I would probably collapse trying to cross country ski, but it would still be worth the effort. Every now and then, the uphill side's got to have a downhill, right, where you can kind of take a break and glide. But no, Scott is right. We do jump past the conserving energy the rest of the year part. Meanwhile, gasoline here, $3.86 a gallon, and we dare complain when it's probably not half the price of what it really, really should be. And yeah, I had a profound urge. If I'd been there much longer, I would have gone off. I would have gone walkabout. Just, you know, point me toward the park, some trails, something. I was remarking to Agnes the other day that being up there reminded me how much I dearly used to love to hike. I need to get back into that. It's kind of cleansing, really. I was reminded of it, too, in the ever-so-short period of time that we got to wander around inside Muir Woods up in Marin County when I was in California, ever so briefly. But today, on one of the TV babble fests, I saw them discussing the price of gasoline. And, hovering around $4, whatever. I guess if you live in a place like New York, you're probably paying in excess of $5 a gallon. And the expert on the oil and gas business that was talking about said, you know, we haven't raised the taxes on gasoline since like 1992, 1994, so that ultimately taxes on gasoline now are 40% lower than they were the last time we raised the gasoline tax. And he went on about how we need to raise the gasoline tax because, having more fuel-efficient automobiles encourages people to drive more and therefore burn more gasoline. Okay. You know what none of those experts, remember we were talking about experts last week? You know what none of those experts even mentioned? And yet we had a delightful conversation with Brother Albert last night about. They were talking about fuel taxes and gasoline and talking about the fuel economy. Not one of them said, Well, Fred, how about electric cars? Because their mindset is hydrocarbon-based. You would almost think, if you were an alien from another planet, that we as humans, being carbon-based life forms, cannot consider alternatives that are not themselves also carbon-based. Hey. You know, please, electric car? But that took me off down the road thinking about gasoline taxes, and again, once again, sales taxes are the worst form of regressive taxation. Sales taxes and regressive taxation in general represent a way for elites to say, screw you, you're poor, you get to pay more of your, a greater percentage of your total income for the basics of your existence. And it made me wonder, how smart are we? Are we smart enough to figure out a way around that? I heard something somewhere along the way, and I can't remember who mentioned it to me. Was it on the show? Was it off the show? It all runs together after a while. That one of the reasons that the Republicans hate the post office so much is that they were considering moving their entire fleet to electric vehicles in a fairly short period of time, which means that the Postal Service would be off of the oil company monkey. Can you imagine how much gasoline the Postal Service buys every year? Can you imagine, some Exxon Mobil whatever CEO said, I didn't get a harumph out of that guy. We got to protect our phony baloney jobs. Work, 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 work. Hello, boys, you miss me? And I wonder, but I wondered if we're smart enough to get around this. I was thinking about regressive taxation and its polar opposite, progressive taxation. If we assume that there's $1.20, now let's just use a nice round dollar. If we assume that there's $1 in taxation on a gallon of gasoline, and that dollar represents a significantly higher percentage of total income to the working poor and the working class than it does to, say, Mr. and Mrs. J.P. Gottrocks filling up their effing Bentley. Wouldn't it be kind of neat? You remember the rationing of World War II era? I'm not talking about rationing gasoline. I'm talking about a sliding scale price structure. Now, don't worry. The poor folks are not just going to all run down to Dollywood and have a high old time. They're going to keep going to work. But we'd like for them to have a little bit of it. If a gallon of gas costs a working person $3.85 a gallon, why shouldn't that same gallon of gas cost a member of the 1% like $3,000 a gallon? Ultimately, the same amount of gasoline is burned. But hoo-wee! Wouldn't that get a lot of people thinking about them electric cars? Them solar power charging stations, and those wind-powered charging stations. That's one of those little visions of the future that just gets me all tingly. But really, what happened to the spirit in this country that said that some degree of fairness should obtain? Because frankly, charging the 1% more for a gallon of gasoline than you charge a working person is not unfair, it is patently fair. It is the essence of fairness. It is leveling the playing field. If a member of the working poor spends, 10% of their annual budget on gasoline, why shouldn't the rich, the 1%, also spend 10% of their budget on gasoline? And we can make some right-wing horror stories come true. You remember what was his name? Shadrach Dingleberry? out in Iowa last night. He was worried. Well, they're gonna put chips in the children's heads and send them in and make them worship the great god Obama. Remember? Well, why don't we put? You know, you can do. Jesus, they know what kind of the scouring powder you want to buy at the grocery store before you get in the store now from all the data mining and data acquisition. Why not put that to a good use? Why not issue a card that you put it in the pump and it tells you how much you pay for a gallon of gasoline relative to the rest of the world? Well, we could never do that, could we? It would be fun to try. Cassie mentioning, no, we couldn't do that. It wouldn't help. It's not enough because they don't drive more than poor people. Charge them more for the electricity to heat their big houses and charge twice as much for your third plane ticket in a year as for your first and four times as much. They'd send their poor housekeeper to the gas station. Oh, that's what the biometrics are for, Cassie. This is the brave new world. Note coming in from our buddy Dr. John. He says, yes to Scott in Sweden. I feel a vague sense of superiority when I see people in the apartment complex drive their bag of garbage to the dumpster. Come on. Really? And there are millions of those examples. Electric can openers, for instance. Now, I realize there are some people who are differently able, who can't turn the little crank on the can opener. But most everybody else can. Why do you need to blow up a little piece of mountain to get your can open? Them's jobs making them can openers. Them Chinese people need jobs, Bob. Yeah, but Dr. John's right. There is a vague sense of superiority involved. So just a little bit of this, a little bit of that, of what goes into me thinking about the end of a broadcast week. Marty with a message for Cassie. Tell Cassie she's far too young to be as cynical as the rest of us in the Horn family are. Are we a bad influence on her? Oh, I don't know. I think you take the bad with the good, Marty. But this here, well, this plays right into it. From an article from a publication called Business Insider. News Ninja Gene sent this along to me. It's a story about emails that, internal Walmart emails that were leaked. Oh, okay. Cassie wants you all to know that she is not cynical. She is just well educated. There may be a little cynicism in there, Cassie. I mean, just saying. Your cynicism, well, cynicism and education can play into this story. Somehow or another, emails were leaked that had gone back and forth among Walmart executives. Bloomberg leaked them. And apparently Walmart executives are having kittens with crocheted tails because folks aren't shopping as much as they used to. Or they are not shopping to the satisfaction of Walmart. You ever wonder what a Walmart executive email sounds like? February 12th, Jerry Murray, Walmart's Vice President of Finance and Logistics, sent an email that said, in case you haven't seen a sales report these days, February MTD sales are a total disaster, and he's not talking about lawnmowers. Month-to-date sales are a total disaster. The worst start to a month I have seen in my 7 years with the company. You ever had one of those weeks where your best-prepared plans weren't good enough to accomplish everything you set out to do? This came from a cat named Geiger. February 1st. Well, we just had one of those weeks here at Walmart U.S. Where are all the customers? Where's their money? pretty blatant. Where are the customers? Where is their money? We want their money. So this stuff was leaked. And they're getting a little itchy over in Wally World. So Business Insider writes, thanks to the recent payroll tax hike, it's that Kenyan Muslim socialist fault, the poorest are running out of money entirely. That again, according to a Bloomberg story. David Strasser, an analyst for Janie Montgomery Scott LLC, said it's not Walmart specific. Anyone with any low-end exposure is going to feel this. Isn't that nice how they describe us? We're the low end. Well, at least they're not calling us the ass end. Anyone with low-end exposure is going to feel this. That customer runs out of money every day as it is. Now they're really going to run out of money. Family Dollar, Target, and grocery stores are experiencing a similar problem, according to the Bloomberg story. Brian Sozzi is the chief equities analyst at NBG Productions, and Walmart, Wally World shoppers are the barometer of the U.S. consumer. And there is no reason to be optimistic. Brian Yarborough, analyst at Edward Jones, told Bloomberg, maybe the payroll tax is a bigger deal than any of us thought. Maybe it is. How was that lobster you had for lunch today, Brian? Maybe it's a bigger deal than anyone thought. The proles are not consuming like they want us to, like we need them to. God, I hope I don't have to cut back to only 3 lobsters per week. Tuesdays and Thursdays simply wouldn't be the same. In regard to gasoline prices, an update from Australia. 1 U.S. gallon of petrol, notice how we don't call it gas. Yes, it's more accurate, but I mean, gasoline is not a gas. Is currently around $5.50 in Sydney, and it's been that for a long time. It's more expensive out in the country areas. I would assume that's transportation costs. Sergi noting, another thing those experts failed to mention was the fact that one can save lots of money simply by being more efficient with gasoline. Too many people think they simply have to drive that Explorer just to go to work downtown or wherever else. Most car trips can easily be replaced by trips on any manner of street-legal alternative vehicles, scooters, bicycles, tricycles, quadricycles, both non-motorized and motorized, walking, etc. The sheer laziness of people who think they need to drive a car everywhere they go is sickening. My next-door neighbor drives his truck to purchase cigarettes from the same grocery store that I get off my narrow ass and walk to. Guess how far it is? 2 gobble-frackin' blocks. What's more, his laziness shows. Don't get me wrong, I love big guys, but dadgum, his lard ass could eclipse the sun. Hell, another point worth making is that if people got around car-free more often, we could deflate this obesity problem like a beach ball in a needle factory. People really do need to learn that it's their laziness that's costing them money on gas and killing the planet. Yeah, and I think, Sergi, you just helped teach a little bit. Walked a good, yeah, I've always loved walking. And it's one of the curses of being here where we are. When you live in a monoeconomy, especially a hydrocarbon monoeconomy, consumption of hydrocarbons is not only expected but encouraged. For instance, it's only a mile to our little hilltop neighborhood tavern. I would never walk that. It's 2 miles on into town. I'd never walk it. I won't. Because it's a pedestrian death race 2000 to do so, because it's a 2-lane road, no sidewalks, narrow gravel shoulder, and coal trucks overloaded up and down the highway. You take your life in your hands to go for a walk around here. It's deeply frustrating. Now, you can drive 2 miles into town to take a walk down the old narrow gauge rail trail, and that's enjoyable. Oh, by the way, this in from Brother Albert. Hey, Brother Bob, there's always hope. Motor Trend's 2013 car of the year is... dot, 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 drum roll, please. The Tesla Model S. S is for sedan. According to Motor Trend editor Angus McKenzie, the Model S is, quote, like a sports car, eager and agile and instantly responsive, but it's also as smoothly effortless as a Rolls-Royce, can carry almost as much stuff as a Chevy Equinox, and is more efficient than a Toyota Prius. Oh, and it'll sashay up to the valet at a luxury hotel like a supermodel working a Paris catwalk. Albert asking, can you say, boing? Just got to let the free market do its magic. I mean, really, if you made it plain, and maybe we're seeing this first with the Prius because it was the first on the market, but maybe we're seeing this with the move toward the Volt and the Nissan Leaf, and eventually there'll be a BMW all electric. And but maybe we're beginning to gradually see that movement. Because just as wind and solar make me sit here and think, wait a minute, there might someday be a way for me to never pay another damn dime to a coal-fired power company, I'd wake up singing in the morning. To the same extent, thinking about an all-electric vehicle makes me think, you mean I could get around and never have to participate... never have any of the blood that runs ankle deep through this country like sewer from our association with any number of brutal hydrocarbon autocracies and dictatorships. You know, the fine royal family in Saudi Arabia. Oh, they're just lovable people. You would, wouldn't you? You'd get up singing. Every day would be like a set piece from Oklahoma. Oh, what a beautiful morning. I'm not buying gasoline today. It is a kind of a hopeful future to consider, isn't it? Clayton, the militant sociologist, pointing out, you mean gasoline's no longer 25 cents? And I complain about my $35 a month to ride public transit. Anybody else try the old bus? Yeah, I think we got some bus and mass transit riders here. That's one of the questions that we still haven't answered for rural America. Places like West Virginia, where the grocery store is 6 miles away. And if you really want to get the groceries you like, the grocery store is 15 miles away. How do you do mass transit in rural America? It's an easier question to answer in urban areas or interurban areas. You see, there's Cassie. She says, I take the bus when I'm not on a bike or walking. Atta girl. See how many... Cassie's just... No wonder she's the wonderful young woman she is. Just gets a lot of stuff right. So, here on this Friday on the front porch, that was on my mind. A lot of other stuff out there, too. I kind of wish, I don't wish. I'm grateful for the fact that wherever this place is in the Oldie Dominion, I ain't near it. All around pizza has a promotional special going right now. They'll give you a 15% discount. And this is apparently somewhere in the Virginia Beach area. They'll give you a 15% discount if you bring in, if you walk in packing heat. From the Virginian Pilot newspaper, most pizza shop owners would be terrified if a customer brought an AK-47 to pick up a pie. Not Jay Lay's. In fact, the owner of All Around Pizza is encouraging it. As of Friday, he's been giving a 15% discount to anyone who walks in carrying a gun or their concealed handgun permit. Lay's, a gun owner, said he got the idea from an ice cream shop in Utah that offered a similar discount. So far, it's been awesome, he said, or it's been awesome, he said. Since Friday, 80% of the customers in his Holland Road shop took advantage of the discount. Some carried 9mm, and one did bring in an AK-47. Yeah. I'm inclined to take that. I'm just glad. Remind me not to get a pizza in Virginia Beach. Keep driving. Now, see, we're progressive people, so we're here talking about the brilliant future we'll have when we're driving around on electric vehicles and warming and cooling our homes with solar and wind power. What's the right wing do? I'll knock 15% off off the price of this crappy pie I've made you if you'll show me your shooting iron. And let me see that you're ready to fight all them Kenyan socialist Muslim rebels. Yeah, see, I got a pepperoni and extra cheese. Add the mushrooms. You want hollow point or boat tail with that? I wonder if the discount applies, like, during Friday night and Saturday night drinking hours. Don't you? David in South Carolina pointing out, in regard to my question about mass transit, buses are shutting down in South Carolina, Stan. The answer is they're shutting down bus routes here in South Carolina because they claim they're broke. Well, if it's good for the people, of course they are. So that's kind of a starting point. We got all kinds of loopy stuff. Don't get in a car wreck in Texas. Ashley Judd, who apparently has a really good reason to feel good about the potential of running for Senate against chinless Mitch McConnell, who signed a... Yeah, if you were watching Lawrence O'Donnell last night, you already know this, but he picked the story up from Wired, and that's the story I'm looking at, Spencer Ackerman. Mitch McConnell fired off a letter to an Assistant Secretary of Defense demanding to know why the Obama administration and the VA were giving GI Bill benefits to detainees at Guantanamo Bay. It's precious. Oh, I won't forget the Pope, Clayton, although I'm trying to. Yeah, there was a piece at a military humor site called Duffel Blog that, well, you remember the guy in Iowa from the clip last night who was all upset because they was going to put them chips in our children's heads and put them chips in our government workers and is this true? Correct. Remember him? Well, there's another, I don't know if it's his cousin or his clone or what, it lives in Kentucky, that read a story on the military version of The Onion called Duffel Blog, talking about the fact that Al-Qaeda detainees at Guantanamo Bay were being given GI Bill benefits, and immediately put on his Tea Party Patriot tri-cornered hat, slung his shooting patriotism gun over his shoulder, licked his pencil, and commenced to writing on his writing paper to get a letter to his patriotic, God-fearing, upstanding Senator Mitch McConnell to find out why them Al-Qaeda terrorists that hate us for our home mortgages are getting GI benefits from that Kenyan Muslim socialist Obama. Ooh-wee. That's the kind of stupid that's pretty hard to live down. But we got lots of places we can go this evening. Let us go forthwith to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Brother Bob.
Well, Brother Albert.
Yeah, I couldn't stay away, and it's like my day off today, so.
Why would we want you to?
Well, you mentioned that guy in the pizza, and all I could see is the Ron Paul banners up behind his head. I don't know if you've seen the video of him and his...
No, there's video.
Yeah, there's video. Ron Paul Revolution. You know...
Liberty. Freedom.
Yeah, you know...
Pizza guns.
Yeah, I don't understand what's... I'm a broken record on it, but I don't understand why they need to bring guns everywhere they go. You know, my mom lives.
Because they're terrified little piss ants, and they never know when their freedom's going to get took from them. I mean, one of them Kenyan Muslim socialists could just pop right out from behind the counter there and take your pizza and your freedom all at the same time, or maybe it'd be the government, Brother Albert.
Oh, Obama's private army.
Yeah, remember them? Yeah, those little adolescents with the fatigues on that scared the bejesus out of the right wing a couple of years ago. Remember them?
Yeah, I do.
Dreaming of being architects and so forth.
And doctors. And doctors. Oh, God.
Kenyan Muslim socialist doctors and architects. It's becoming more and more like the world of Atlas Shrugged every day.
Well, I wish them luck. They're setting up libertarian paradises in where are they going? Guatemala or else? No, Costa Rica.
No, it was Honduras. What?
Honduras. There's probably a few. There's a couple of oil rigs or something that they're.
And they're going to Idaho too.
Oh yeah, they're already in Idaho. They think that they're coming to take the guns in Idaho. And that one, I don't know. That just really gets under my tongue. That whole confiscate the guns crap. I mean, I know I said it, you know, last night, and I've said it before, but it's just such an absurd, just fear-spittled, just bedwetting nonsense. How many guns? There are more guns probably in this country. They usually say, what, 300 million? There's probably more than that. And there's more guns. That means that there's more guns in this country than there are people. Who the hell is going to go? I mean, there's no point to it. It's such nonsense.
You know, Brother Albert, you keep it. You know, one of your talents of long standing is your ability to open doors. You got a minute for a little bit of audio?
Always, Brother Bob.
Because this is going to be special. Stand by. This is Larry Pratt and who's the other goober? Greg W. Howard appearing on the Talk to Solomon show.
Where do you find this stuff?
Oh, the angry Indian sent this one along to me. This is just, but see, it's all in the magic, Brother Albert, of all the kismet or what, serendipity or whatever the Horn family just brings. It just converges in this little ball of magic. I don't have to. Yeah, sitting down, tennis ball, duct tape. Ready?
I'm there. I'm ready.
Obama's stated objective in the 08 campaign was to have a civilian force equal in strength to the military. And so this buying of guns wholesale and buying of ammunition in astronomical amounts indicates that the Obama administration is proceeding apace with that goal in mind. Now, if they really want to provoke a confrontation, a violent confrontation, I can't think of a better way than to try to go door to door and confiscate guns. They'll get a few at the beginning, but it won't go well if they continue. And I think the only conclusion one can draw is that may be what they are looking for. They want to provoke something, and, you know, what's a few police to make it look like those hot-headed militia guys are at it again.
Well, do you think, and we'll get everyone's response, do you think that the Obama administration, starting with Obama and all the other people in that administration, believe that the American people will accept the use of strength, be it the military or non-military, to forcibly disarm and in the process hurt, kill, imprison not one, not a hundred, but thousands, maybe tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Americans? Do you really think they think that will be able to move forward?
Well, they may well believe their own ideology quite in a thoroughgoing fashion. And if so, then I think they might assume that, well, if the president has said something, that makes it law, and therefore that would give them, they think, the psychological edge, because resisting their orders would be breaking the law.
And there's so much more, Brother Albert, and thanks to the folks at Right Wing Watch. Can you imagine what it must be like to work at Right Wing Watch and just have to snag this stuff every day?
What about the poor fool that's got to go in there after they're done, those slobs are done, and mop up their drool?
Oh, yeah. That was just a little soupçon of what they got into. Let's see. You may be right, because he's been sowing the seeds of racial hatred. We were healing quite well as a nation on racial issues until Obama came along, and now we have a lot of racial discord. I believe they will put together a racial force to go against an opposite race resistance, basically a black force to go against a white resistance, and then they will claim anyone resisting the black force, they are doing it because they are racist.
What kind of load do you think we're going to need to, you know, kill these hundreds of thousands of rabid black Obama sycophants? Oh, they can't use a word like that.
No.
That was too much, I know. By about two
syllables.
what kind of, hundreds or thousands or millions and, it's so funny how much projection it just seethes out of them. You know what I'm projecting. I'm projecting solar power, geothermal, a green earth. I want Star Trek. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want replicators and warp drive and all that.
I want a holodeck.
Yeah, I want people to do what they want to do with their lives. You know, I want a holodeck. I want to meet, the Klingon and drink blood wine. And I'm a big geek.
Like, yeah, but I'm passing on the Gok, brother.
Yeah, I ain't eating worms. That ain't happening. But, especially when they're wriggling.
Yeah.
But,
just like Mother used to make.
Yeah, for real. I'm not hitting it. But they're just, all they want, that's why they want to keep the nukes, I think we've talked about that before. They just, they want to get that, They want to have that moment, that last 15 minutes, you know, in the elevator with some poor woman. Hey, we got 15 minutes. You're either doing it willingly or you're doing it. You know, it's sad. It's just, they're sad and, you know, I'm so sick of this gun protection nonsense. I'm so sick of it. I'm so close to really just buying some thermite and just burning my arms up. You know, I have them, but, you know, they're toys to me. They're toys. They're dangerous toys. I'm not saying they're, you know, matchbox cars, but they're toys. What am I going to do with them? Fight werewolves? I mean...
Zombies.
Zombies, I mean...
What is the zombie round? What is the zombie load, Albert?
Well, you need it. Well, you just got to hit them in the head, you know. Depends on which zombies we get. Do we get the fast ones? Do we get the slow ones? You know. There's a whole kind of range of what they could be doing. And
boomers and hunters and smokers. And
do they really believe in what they're doing? And it's like, you know, it's like the government buys ammunition. And I know what that guy was talking about. He's talking about, oh, they're bought 16 billion rounds or whatever it is. One or 10 for each American woman and child and man, you know, and they always...
Wouldn't that
you know,
be better measured by one for however many for each Afghan man, woman, and child?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like, of course the federal government is buying ammunition. You know, they have police forces and military and, you know, the Department of Homeland Security is buying all these ammunition.
Yeah, but see, Willard Romney would have taken us back to the day of the cavalry charge and the bayonet and the lance.
Yes, sir. I mean, yeah, exactly. And, you know, and steamerships. And we got to get the boom battleships are just sitting there. And we got paranormal researchers going in there and checking them out. We got to get those things back out on the high seas and project our power. You know, and it's pathetic. It really is. These people are just pathetic. I almost don't want to listen to them, but because they are armed and scared, they're dangerous, you know. I mean, what do you need a guy? And it's like, you know, the other guy in Virginia, you know, and this one just blew me away. When the guy walked in Virginia, again in Virginia, you know, he must have been looking for the pizza place, but he walked in to the grocery store, Kroger's, with a loaded AR-15. And this is the other one that just really gets me. I love they go and they get the, they got to split ball hairs over whether the fact of an AR-15 is an assault rifle or not. And they'll be like, well, it's not, it doesn't have burst and it doesn't have fully auto, so it's not. So wait, what's the only difference between that and your quote-unquote military-grade assault rifle? The trigger? The trigger's the only difference. If you swapped out the trigger, or if you were crafty in computers and printed out the 3D print, you know, with a 3D printer and you could do it, you could then have it, you know, the only difference is the trigger. So what do you, you know, it's like there's no difference. You got a 30 round and I'm gonna call them clips. I'm not calling them magazines because it gets under their skin and I love it, you know, because they're fetishists. That's what it is. They're gun fetishists. They can't,
yes,
you know, they need their, and you have to have the proper military jargon or you're breaking the illusion for them. And you can't break that illusion because that illusion is everything to them. You know, they probably, you know, they, who knows if they can get it up, and all they care about is being able to project their power, phallic, you know, firearm. And, you know, it's pathetic.
I love it when you talk calibers to me, Albert.
it's absolutely pathetic. And, I mean, they're toys, and... I mean, it's like, you know, the first, well, the, you know, they think it's the Wild West, but they have this romantic vision of the Wild
West.
They're
bored. Albert, they are bored.
Yeah, that's true, too.
They yearn for the day when there was some meaning and excitement, and they could see their feet. Right, so they sit around fondling their firearms. Thinking, well, you know, one of these days, I tell you what, we're going to have to lock and load and defend our freedom.
Yeah. But isn't it funny, though, how they've...
Then they have to get a Kleenex.
And they followed their little Turner diary to the T, and now they're victims. You know, because, those guys were just talking race war, weren't they?
Yeah, right. 13 talking race war. Hey, I want to try something here, Brother Albert.
Sure, brother.
Let's turn this into a real live, honest to God, old fashioned Friday on the front porch.
All right.
I think we got Cassie with us.
Oh.
Hi.
Hey, Cassie.
Hi, Cassie.
Can you hear me?
You're a little thin, but you're coming through.
Well, I am a little thin, but that's okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can't eat ramen all the time.
No. No, I don't need it at all.
Oh, good for you. No, we've got you good, and we've got so now we've got a little group conversation going on. How are you?
Hey.
Cassie?
Yeah?
Yeah, I said we got a little group conversation going on now. How are you?
I'm good. So, you mentioned Ashley Judd.
Yes.
She's my new hero.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now I can't hear you. What happened? You got real quiet.
No, I'm right here.
Okay. Yeah, so I've been, like, following her career and, well, not really, like, just recently this semester. And I read one of her books, and I have been following what she does, and I think that she's amazing, and I think she's going to be amazing when she gets to be a senator, which I think really can happen. And I think that the people who are discounting her because she's a movie star don't look at who she really is and, like, what else she does with her life. And she's, like, such a liberal. I mean, she calls herself progressive, but, like, she's one of us, you know? She's...
Yeah.
She completely is... first of all, so she wouldn't work with that thing that I said about flying different places, because she goes all over the world
mm-hmm.
to work with prostitutes and to teach people real sex education. And to look at unfair labor practices and look at all kinds of things about inequality. And a lot of it is about gender equality all over the world. And I'm just really impressed with her.
Well, and frankly, if you ran her in a more progressive state, I think it would be almost a no-brainer. The question is how the, let's see, is the plural of doofus doofy? How will the doofy in places like Eastern Kentucky respond to her? That's not to say that everybody in Eastern Kentucky... No, I've got good friends in Eastern
Kentucky.
First
of all, she's a woman, so that she's already got a strike against her for being female.
Right.
And then she's got another strike. I mean, she's got a couple of strikes. The biggest one, I think, is that she doesn't actually live in Kentucky anymore.
No.
She's been making her home in Tennessee. But... What I found, because I was looking at Huffington Post and some of the other websites, and they are not even talking about any of her political activities. They're just talking about the fact that she's a movie star and her last name's Judd.
Yeah, when in fact she holds a master's in public administration from the John F. Kennedy School,
yes,
school at Harvard.
From Harvard.
Yeah, I know a guy who was one of her classmates.
Oh, yeah? Does he say good things about her? I bet.
Pardon?
I bet he says good things about her.
Oh, yeah, he really does. He is of like mind.
And in her book, she talks, well, I've only read the first book. I'm going to read the second book probably this weekend. But in her book, she talks about mountaintop removal.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't talk a lot about it, but she's, you know. Have you met her? I know that you're. Like,
no.
You've been at the same things together, though, right?
Yes. But I've never met her. Mainly because if I did, I'd just walk up and, you know, just make strange noises, and she'd look at me strangely.
But you get on the radio for 3 hours every day and make strange noises.
Yeah, but that's within its proper context, Cassie.
Yeah, that's true. So, Albert.
Yes?
Is he still there?
Yeah, Albert's here.
Congratulations about the baby.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, we're really enjoying him. He's a good little baby, and he's beautiful. It's another step, you know. It's a lot of fun.
How are the girls dealing with him these days?
You know, they were there at the birth. We had a home delivery. My wife did it awesome. No drugs, no nothing. She went into this trance, in a sense, and I'm not going to say she wasn't in pain, but she didn't scream once until the end. And
did she do like meditation stuff?
In her own way. I mean, she didn't follow any kind of practice. She just, you know, it's like, you know, when you're, if you know how to work your body and you know how your body goes, you know, you calm yourself down, you know, you get your own meditation. You know, I don't think there is a blueprint to meditation. It's something that everybody has to do their own way. And, yes, I would say, yeah, she did. And, you know, we had that, there was a water bath involved. And, you know, and just the fact that we were in the home birth, which versus the girls who were twins, they, you know, they were in the hospital in the cold. I mean, there's nothing colder and grosser in my sense than an operating room. Those are pretty nasty places. They're just cold and, ugh, and nasty and machines and, you know, and then with Leto, there was none of that. It was calm and peaceful and, it was, you know, it was a snowy day. And it was just, you know, warm water and soothing talk. And, you know, she did her pushing for about 4 hours. And then there he was. And when, you know, my girls were there, you know, actually they fell asleep, you know, because he came, it was about 11:40 in the morning. And the girls had fallen asleep. But, you know, they had been up. And I had my mom on Skype. So that's the other like, really cool thing. It was just a surreal experience that, you know, my mom was thousands of miles away, but she was there the entire time. You know, she was
wow.
Over Skype. It was, you know, it was really cool. It was, you know, it was like the future. You know, she was there for the entire time. And once he started crowning, I woke the girls up and got them, you know, in there. And
you know, they didn't think it was gross or anything?
I thought it was gross. I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, it, in terms of the wrinkly, jagged head that pops out the bird when it crowns, I looked at the midwife. I'm like, is that okay? She's like, oh, that's beautiful. I'm like, that's beautiful. But, you know, that's my own male perspective from it. But they didn't really, no, they didn't think it was gross. They didn't, they were just blown away by it. And I see that they aged. It's been an actual really good parenting hook for me to tell them when it's time for them to do what they need to do. That, you know, this is part of their, you know, growing up period. You know, we had a little bit of a different method, I guess, for raising up kids. But, you know, they got their childhood, and, you know, now they're big sisters with responsibility. And I think they take it seriously. I don't know. Do you take it seriously, Raisa? Yeah. You know, they're still a little bit young to kind of trust with, you know, a 2-month-old.
How old are they?
They're 8. No, 9. They just turned 9 here in January. So, yeah, they're still not, you know, not enough to kind of, but they're getting there. And, you know, eventually, hopefully, they'll be good babysitters, and, you know, and even better sisters, and showing him the proper way to go. And, you know, hopefully they're folding the paper in the right way. And I think seeing him be born, I think it helped them grow, but probably more than they're even, you know, consciously aware of. I mean, I saw a look on their face of, you know, because there's nothing, I mean, there's nothing to say to anybody who doesn't have children. It's the most surreal, ridiculous, awesome experience that I think is possible in life. I mean, there's nothing like that. And to see it is... Yeah, it's awe-inspiring. It just, you know, it's awe-inspiring. There's no other word for it. At least I don't have them.
How old were you when you decided to have kids?
What was I, Bob? Oh, my goodness. I was 25. I was 25. And, yeah, I'm 25, and we...
I don't know if I'm going to have kids or not. I mean, I don't know anything yet.
You'll see.
Well,
I have some friends, believe it or not, I have some friends from high school who already have kids.
Oh, this is America, Cassie. We believe it.
Yeah, I believe you.
I have 3 grandchildren.
It's a little crazy.
It is.
I mean, I had friends who, like, I didn't have friends. I knew people who had kids in high school. but none of my friends. But I've started having friends with kids. It's really weird.
How old are you now?
21.
21. Yeah. See, and you don't worry about you'll start getting. You're a mature young lady, and you'll get that itch probably. Hopefully, after 25. 25 is when your brain stops, fully developed, and you really get all those connections connected, and that.
Well, see, I was going to tell you my brain was developed when I was 9.
Well, there is that kind of development, and there's the kind of fully connected development. You'll see what I'm saying, and. Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't push it. You're doing your studies. Do your studies. Concentrate on that. Get yourself in a proper position. And hopefully you meet the right man who treats you right and has respect for you and follows, a lot of your ideals and goals. And, you can actually, you'll want to. And it'll happen.
That's a big part of what's missing,
I'm not even really looking right now. Enjoy.
No, you've got other stuff you're working on right now.
Right, but I'm not even really looking for the right guy. I'm just sort of
awesome.
Yeah, but that's
you don't
have to look. That's
working
squirrel
hunting.
1 million
hours a week, and
just wait to be hit by lightning.
Between school and work, I'm just
wait to get
real busy, but good busy.
Yeah,
staying out of trouble busy.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, like I said, wait to get hit by lightning. You'll get hit. It'll happen. It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
And, just make sure, as long as you're grounded, you'll be all right. And,
Yeah.
We've grown up with her, right, Bob? I mean, she's been with the horn for a long
ever.
Time. Ever. And I remember.
Eighth grade, was it, Cassie?
Eighth grade, uh-huh.
Yeah, I remember hearing.
I joined the horn in eighth grade. I've been with the horn so long. I joined the horn before I started blogging.
Yeah. I think I remember hearing you on the Malloy program. You've always been a source of, I'm always rooting for you, and we're always rooting for you. And so,
thanks.
You'll be a great mother. I know it. When you're ready, you'll be a great mother. you're probably already far ahead of everyone else that's already had it. You just haven't had the experience yet.
Some things I am, and in other things I think I'm pretty far behind people.
Hey, you got time.
I think I missed some things along the way, but that's okay too.
Well, and sometimes not having certain things. Growing up shows us what we need to do. Sometimes good examples are, failures of others.
Right.
They failed and you go, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to treat my kid like that, or I'm going to make sure they get like this.
I'm pretty sure that I know some things I don't want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to become a drug addict while I'm raising my kids.
That's a really positive. That's a really positive choice to make, Cass.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want to go to prison. with little kids in the house.
That's really the key to the parenting program.
There's a lot of things that I would definitely do different from what my mom. And I don't know how much for my mom. I still haven't figured out what things are choices and what things are circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have my life together before I start having kids.
Yep. You will.
Yeah.
You will. For all the years we've heard you growing up, it's Cassie, you're a source of we always hope, always pulling for you, and you got a good head on you. In fact, you and a lot of the young people I hear, you guys give me hope for the future. Like that's kind of almost my main line to it, because. 21-year-olds now aren't 21-year-olds when I was 21-year-old. I mean, it's...
How so?
You guys are... It's a different cloth that I think you guys are being cut from.
There are more things competing for your attention. There are more things... Well, I was... just as an example, I was looking up somebody that I saw on TV today, and found out that she was she'd run for Congress, and her congressional run was stymied by the fact that some photos surfaced from a goofy Christmas party when she was in college. There's there's a Facebook. What will the political future look like as a result of social media? That's a question that's still being answered. Because it seems like no matter how, I don't know many people who haven't screwed up on Facebook somehow. And I saw the reference to it last night that, so many people think, oh, I've set my Facebook to private. Well, that's not private. That's findable.
And you know, I think it's also, I bet Mitch McConnell never made any mistakes, and I hope you're right about Ashley Judd. I mean, there's, my goodness, I don't know if there's enough brandy in Wisconsin to deal with that celebration when he loses to her, because that would just be a glorious day. You know, I hope you're right. I like her, too, there ain't many people I'd want to see removed from the Senate quicker than that guy. You know, that old turtle guy, he just, and I'm sure he never made any mistakes. And that's the thing, we have this illusion of perfection where everybody makes mistakes. And it's really what do you do with those mistakes? Do you learn from them? Do you grow from them? I'm not talking Mark Sanford kind of learning. I'm talking,
not hiking the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah, I should have brought an ash stick with me. I'm talking about, real, honest growth. And that's really what it is. You'll make mistakes. Yeah, there'll be a picture of you. Yeah, there'll be this. Yeah, there'll be that. But that's, it's what you learn from them, and I think that's what counts. And if you can learn from other people's mistakes, well, those are free, so you might as well pick them up. Don't worry about it too much. Don't stress over it.
So can I talk about what you guys were talking about the letter about conserving energy?
You should know by now. You don't even have to ask that question. Go.
I do when it's a group chat.
Oh, but this isn't a group chat. This is the horn.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, stand not upon the order of your going, but go at once.
I know a lot of people who use a ton of electricity and don't think twice about it at all. And whether it's about money or it's not about money, it doesn't affect them. And I know plenty of people who live in the dorm. I'm not in the dorm this year, but I have a lot of friends who are, and I was in the dorm for 2 years, and I've got lots of friends who are in the dorm, and they'll put the air up or down to whatever they want it to be and not think at all about wasting electricity because it doesn't cost any money. And they'll just, I think there's not enough people out there who are aware of what we are doing to the planet. And that when you start talking about it, they just accuse you of being brainwashed.
Tree hugger. Really?
Yeah.
You get that at Princeton?
Yes.
Well, I shouldn't be surprised. The 1% climate deniers send their kids. They're not sending them to busted knuckle State Community College, are they?
Well, yeah. But the ones at Busted Knuckle Community College don't know or care enough to pay any attention to it. And I mean, most of the people I know don't take climate change seriously or don't take the idea of us responding to climate change.
I find that hilarious insofar as how far are you from the coast?
Oh, not far. Like, maybe 2 hours.
And so everybody just sort of hunkered down and, threw parties while Sandy was hitting. Yeah.
We were affected by it. No, but it's weird. It's just like,
well,
I feel like, I grew up in the middle of liberal causes, and I know so much more. Like, there's a lot of things that I don't know anything about, and there's a lot of experiences I've never had that my friends have had, know so much more about reality than a lot of people do, even than my professors.
Oh, I have no doubt that you know more than... Yes.
And that's kind of weird. I mean, because this shouldn't be... I mean, it's because I grew up with, you know, around liberals and grew up, you know, on the Horn and at Malloy Chat and, you know, I mean, I... There were plenty of nights when you guys were my family, you know, when nobody else was around or nobody else was healthy, and you guys were, the Horn family was my family. I mean, you remember I used to do my homework in the chat room?
Yep.
Always asking people for how do I do this and how do I do, and I'm going about to do it again. It's really sad. I'm a junior in college. I'm about to do the same thing. But anyway, I learned so much, and I learned about advocacy, and I learned about, you know, the liberal way of thinking about things. And even in my major with people, I mean, it's called the Human Values Curriculum. And there's still people who don't see that what they do in driving the car three blocks has anything to do with what we're studying.
Yeah.
They just don't see it.
Yeah, if I may, kind of, because to your generation, you know, especially, I mean, I'm included in that too, and I'm sure Bob will still be around for this, and as will his kids, and, you know, many, probably everyone listening to Horn. I mean, by 2030, Saudi Arabia, the largest supply of hydrocarbon energy ever found on this planet, will stop being an exporter of oil and natural gas. It's a little 17 years for us to be already off of it. But there is good news. I mean, just in the past 12 months, solar output in terms of, you know, giant collective solar, which is not really my favorite thing, but it's better than nothing. It's better than coal power plants. That has doubled worldwide, and China is actually taking a massive, you know, a massive jump. China's ahead of Germany now in installed, you know, gigawatts or gigawatt hours or what have you. So, but, you know, back to what Bob was sort of saying regarding CAFE standards and then people just drive more, you know, that's Jevons paradox. You know, once you make something more efficient, it gets sucked up that much faster. And so we do have that, and you do have, you know, people, and I'd love to get to a place, and I think it's possible. I mean, the Earth, you know, the geothermal potential under our feet is more energy than we could ever consume. I mean, until there's trillions of us, and then, you know, I mean, you know, but then,
yeah, at that point, know, we need to be on the next boat for Alpha Centauri.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, by then we should have something, you know, something with that many brains, with that many monkeys pounding away at keyboards, you know, we better come up with a warp drive or something. But, you know, the thing is we have enough abundance of energy to be, you know, flippant with its use, just not with the current sources we do. You know, and so, in a sense, getting into a renewable footing and getting on that path is the best cause for human nature. If you, I mean, there might
well be. Everywhere except Kansas.
Yeah, because we don't want no sustainability, and that's just, you know, I mean, I especially for farmers, that is just so absurd to me. You know, it really is just an absurd thing. Which, you know, it's also, it reminds me of that Monsanto. This actually gets under my craw too. If you don't mind me just diverging a little bit there, Cassie, but there was a Supreme Court case that came in, you know, when the farmer, what he was doing was, is he was buying Monsanto's seeds on the cheap. He was buying it as feed instead of as seed. And as seed, it costs X amount of dollars, and as feed, it's a little bit less. So he figured that he could get that Roundup Ready stuff on the cheap by buying it as feed and using that to plant. And so, you know, Monsanto found out about it. Monsanto being the disgusting genetic bullies that they are, you know, they're genetic gangsters, those guys. They went in and they sued him, and they got $86,000, and he took it all the way to the Supreme Court. And you see, he was being greasy. You know, he was being real greasy. He was figuring out a way that he was going to, you know, short out the system, and he was going to, you know, play it to his advantage, and then he takes it up to the Supreme Court. Now he's set precedent. You know, it'd be different if he had his own heirloom soybean seeds that he was saving up, and then, you know, Monsanto Genetics comes in and contaminates his seeds. That's a different case. I'm totally on the farmer's side on that respect. But when we see guys trying to, you know, get it on the sly, it's like, well, you know, you're scamming, and it's like you're scheming just like them, and now you're playing the dirty game like those guys. And to be honest with you, I really do think that, you know, they don't have the bright future that I think, you know, I don't think they're going to be in it. You know, unless they start making some real good advances towards real good things. I mean, I'm not seeing, you know, Roundup Ready stuff and, you know, switchgrass that, you know, you can, what have you. You know, I mean, it's not like they're making more cellulose. It's not like they're making more vitamin C. It's not like they're making more any kind of health benefit. It's just so they can spray their chemicals on there. You know, they can spray their napalm or their Agent Orange on it. You know, so, I don't know. I think, you know, you look at this generation, 21 years old, you know, We're not going to have the, you know, mountaintop removal and so on and so forth. We're going to have solar panels on every roof. There's going to be windmills everywhere applicable. There's going to be geothermal plants everywhere because it's going to trigger, hey, wait a minute. You know, I mean, what is gas now? Well, all of a sudden people are getting comfortable with gas being 360. They're like, oh, that's pretty cheap. You know, and it was like only a few years ago, like that was, you know, that was Armageddon. And, you know, eventually the water will get too hot, and people will start, you know, really looking at these alternatives. Now you got, you know, such sexy things like the Model S and then the X and all their other vehicles that they're going to be coming out with, and Ford has it, and, you know, they're reaching 100 miles per gallon. And, yeah, I think people will use it, you know, once we grid up the roads to wirelessly, you know, charge up electric vehicles as they drive down the highway. You know, I think all these things are things that we need to do. You know, you can't outsource jobs of infrastructure. You know, these are things that we're going to need. And, I mean, when it's finally done, which is not going to be for 30, 40 years, you know, by the time we redo all the infrastructure and put all the panels and all the other stuff, but at least we'll be able to have a sustainable, you know, system, or at least a sustainable energy base, which is something that, you know, I don't think we've ever had as a species. You know, we just didn't have the numbers that could dwindle it as quick. You know, now we have the numbers, so now we need to have a sustainable base, and, you know, maybe we'll get up there to the stars one day, maybe. You know, and it is a little disheartening to hear, but it's also understandable that 21-year-olds don't care about their energy consumption. They don't care about, you know, I gotta understand it. You know, they're 21. Oh, you know, they're immortal at 21, aren't they?
Yes.
Is it everybody?
And then,
you know?
Like, the only people who care about GMO foods. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like there's this whole petition drive happening and with the university, but the only people who are really taking part in it, I mean, there's a couple of, like, you know, good liberal people, but mostly it's the foreign students who just can't believe that in America that we let the government let them serve us anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, well, America's always been better off for immigrants and listening to immigrants and allowing immigrants' ideas to flourish. And so,
I'm not talking about immigrants. I'm talking about people who come here to study and then they're going back.
Well, that's even better news because, you know, we still only make up 5% of the world's population. So if, you know, the rest of the world, we know that the rest of the world has been aware of these things, you know, especially when they're coming from places where they don't even have, you know, functioning toilets for the majority of the population, and they have eye worms and God knows what else, other kind of parasites, you know, these are the people that, you know, they don't have food coming out the, you know, raining out of the sky on them. You know, they got to work on chalkboards. They don't get paper. They don't get pencils. They these kind of people, they kind of appreciate it a little bit more. And I hope to see, you know, that southern part of the world, you know, take more charge. You know, I mean, it's like, well, with India, there's 600 million people there without any electricity, and they're not going to get it. Because they're not connected to the grid, and there's no way to connect them to the grid. India doesn't have the money. But if they went into solar, where they're each, you know, and the thing is, you know, like, you know, people sometimes, I think, they have that mindset where, you know, in the 70s, you had, you know, solar was very expensive. It was ridiculous. And even up till recently, it's been very expensive. But it's at grid parity now. I mean, it's, as, you know, solar is what it costs for coal is what it costs for solar. Wind is cheaper than coal. I mean, and we're getting to this point of these technologies getting to such a, I mean, look at the smartphone that everyone and their mother has. These technologies are ridiculous, and they're getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper.
The family I lived with my last year and a half in high school, they have solar panels on their roof. Betsy's got solar panels at her apartment. They're not on her roof. They're on somebody else's roof, but they're still hers. Mm. There's, you know.
Yeah. And think about the money that you have in your pocket when you're not constantly spending $200, $250, $300 to the power company. You know, and that's a one way that, you know, when you're talking to a conservative person or a person that cares more about money, or they think money is more real than oxygen is, you know, you can always tell them, well, you know, yeah, you might be paying this now, but, you know, you either pay it now for 5 years or you pay it forever, and it's only going to keep getting more expensive. You know, because that's what, you know, I mean, what, you know, we're talking about, you know, $200 power bills now, you know, and when I was 21, it was, you know, oh, this power bill's $80. It's killing me. You know, I mean, and what do you think
it's
going
to be? I have no idea what a power bill costs.
Yeah, well, you'll get there. And, you know, what do you think my kids, you know, when they're 9 years old now, you know, when they're 21, what do you think power bills are going to be? You know, I don't even want to know. I mean,
what's a gallon of gasoline going to be?
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, a little bit ago, Albert, you mentioned the fact that by 2030, Saudi Arabia will no longer be an exporter of oil.
Yeah, or gas.
Well, what happens then is that if you're sitting here in 2013 and you're the royal exalted 32nd degree noble pish posh of the Saudi royal family. You look up and you realize I've got 17 years before we have to go back about 500 years into our past and start living by burning camel dung again, because there still ain't no trees.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you reckon they're doing?
Well, they're doing what they're doing in Dubai, and they're doing what they're doing in these other cities where they're just erecting.
Yeah, they happen to live in a giant solar collector.
Yep.
And they'll become a net exporter of electricity via solar. And that way they won't have to go back to the camel dung.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll still be getting rich.
Yeah, they'll still be getting very rich. And, you know, but at the same time, not as rich as they have been. You know, I was watching an amazing little 20-minute documentary on... I think these guys came from England. They went from England, they went to the Dead Sea in Israel. And they were going to terraform, I think, 50 acres. And I'll try to send you the link. I'll go find it and send it to you. Because it's really an amazing thing of what they've done. Where they followed the natural contours of the land, they dug a ravine, they covered it with compost, they planted certain trees for shade, and then they, you know, on the way down, and, you know, because the area of the Dead Sea being one of the lowest points of Earth, being one of the driest places on Earth, it still gets water in the winter and stuff. And so, you know, by forming the land in a certain way, you're allowed to, you know, you collect that water instead of just having it rain, you know, go all over the place and evaporate and, you know, get locked out. And then when you put compost, you know, just, you know, tree leaves and, you know, farm waste and so on and so forth. You know, this is the thing, that's what blows me away about organic agriculture. What's so expensive about making compost? I mean, that's all I do. I just constantly grow. You know, I cut my grass and I put it in a pile. I sprinkle a little stuff on it. You know, years ago I did. Now I don't have to because there's so much microorganisms and worms and bugs and da 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 da. And that's exactly what they're seeing in the Dead Sea. And all of a sudden, all the salinity that's in the soil is getting locked out by the mycorrhizal fungi, which then locks out this salt and then helps aerate the soil and then traps water, and that water goes into it performs a network with the roots. I mean, it's like, I think, you know, the more we follow nature, the more we understand the macro and the micro of this, you know, this organism we live on, you know, and the more we act, you know, in conjunction with it, the better our lives are going to be. You know, we can completely, you know, we can have trees in Saudi Arabia. There's no reason we couldn't. That we can redo the desert. There's no reason we couldn't. The Sahara Desert, we can restore that to a rainforest. You know, well, how can you do that? Well, what do you mean? You got solar power up the yin-yang over there. You got geothermal under everybody's feet. That's more than enough power to desalinate ocean water. And you could just, you know, run drip irrigation until it turns in. And then, you know, once you get trees, trees have a funny thing of, you know, bringing more rain to them. They, like, oh, clouds, you know, the trees are up there praying to the clouds. And the clouds say, okay, here's some water. Right? Isn't that kind of what goes on? I mean, that's, you know, I mean, if you let a desertification happen, it just goes rampant, you know. I mean, you know, I mean, speaking of all these places, you know, we got bad forecasts on what's going to happen in California and Texas and all that. The droughts are going to continue, you know. Oh, so let's cut down more trees. Let's burn more.
Right. I was going to say, can we get this in a memo to Brazil?
Yeah. See, that's in Brazil. Yeah, Brazil kills me. I just, you know, it's like they want to be a first world nation so bad, and they're so proud of Brazil, and I like Brazilians. I don't have a problem with Brazilians. They're nice people. You know, they're like Canadians, you know. They're like the Canadians of the South. They're real open and warm, and, you know, but I sit there, I'm like, what are you guys doing? You know, stop. you have a gem. You have a gem that's precious. You can't, you know, who knows what uses you'll find. I mean, in biochemical and da-da-da and all the other things. I mean, the resource that they're just wasting for McDonald burgers is just, it's obscene. It's obscene.
So Cassie, when you're president, are you going to address this?
Yeah, please.
I'm going to address it long before I get to be president.
Oh,
I believe you will.
Cassie in Congress. I mean, I'm all for it.
No, Cassie wants the presidency.
Well, I got to take a couple steps before that. I know I just can't just run for president.
Well, right, yeah, you. But don't go the House of Representatives route. We haven't had a member of the House elected president since God was a baby.
Yes, sure we have. They just go from Congress to something else first. You got to do governor or senator or something.
Yeah, but but there has only been one elected directly from the House.
Right, so you don't do it direct.
I hope Cassie is the third woman and the youngest president we ever have.
You know, Ashley Judd's going to be president before me. I'm going to be in her cabinet. That's how I'm getting there.
Yeah, all right. And then, yeah, well, she'll be
write
second.
This down.
A note just came in from our buddy Philip. He says, tell Cassie to take her time deciding what to do with her life and her reproductive options. I became a father at age 26 through marriage. My wife and I then had a second child when I was 36 and a third at 39. I'm a much better father at a later age than I was when I was younger. And my younger children have done a fine job of raising me and helping me be the man I am. They're 19 and 21 now, and my oldest is 33 and has three children of her own, so I listen to Brother Albert's reminiscing about his son's birth with awe and fond nostalgia for when I played the New Age calming music tape and tried to talk my wife through her labor and was awestruck by her strength and endurance. As is with the case of so many things involving taxes in this country, I benefited from the investment gains, and my wife expended a far greater effort to earn our child through labor. Philip's great that way. As for Mitch McConnell, you'll enjoy this. As for Mitch McConnell, I used to think it was a private joke in this home to compare him to a turtle. I was saddened when I first heard that we were not so original in our perception, but elated that so many others saw the startling resemblance. Here's what's worse. Mitch bears a startling sexless resemblance to my father's second wife, who divorced my father when he became ill with dementia. When I last saw her in the early years of their marriage, she was telling me, an Irish-American, more than 2.5 decades ago, that Margaret Thatcher was a wonderful woman full of strength whom she tremendously admired. My pre-senile father, with a malicious, conniving grin on his face, advised her to discuss something else because, quote, Philip has rather different views. He knew she, a rabid, reactionary, fascist Catholic who called herself a conservative but conserved nothing, would not be able to resist limbawing me, and that I would respond as he had learned to refrain from doing so to preserve some small sense of domestic comity. She glibly blundered on and effused that Ronald Reagan was a fine man and the best president we ever had. The trap was sprung as she naively inquired in that arrogant way that people who think the rest of the world just has to think as they do, "Don't you agree, Philip?" With dead serious visage, I looked at her earnestly and replied, "Well, I think he was vile, senile, fascist, who should be serving in prison for selling weaponry to Iran through Israel and funding genocide in Latin America. She was silent and taken aback, so I delivered the coup de grace. Sadly, as much as I like you, I don't know whether I will be able to have your life spared after the revolution. My damned father, who was covertly using me to say what he was afraid to say, was gleeful and silently laughing while she looked at me aghast and, I might add, speechless. She never discussed politics with me again. Cassie reminds me of my youngest daughter, Phil. Says she's a remarkably thoughtful and mature young woman who will succeed in whatever she commits herself to doing in her life. I wish her all the best. At the same time, I wish Brother Albert would write a post about paternity. He has a wisdom and calmness that took me a few years to achieve with my own children. For some reason, I think his attitudes are not solely attributable to fine pizza. All the best, Philip.
Well, thank you, Philip, and amen, brother.
I like
Philip,
that.
Amen. Yeah,
Thank you for what he said.
Why don't you do that?
Philip.
There you go. See, that's how it works. See, now the suggestions are coming in. Marty says, advise Cassie to avoid elected office, become President Ashley Judd's nominee to be the Chief Justice of the United States.
To be the what?
Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Okay.
But if you're gonna go down that road, Cassie, I have to extract a promise from you right now, and it is a solemn promise that you will never show up in public in one of those dumbass Thomas More hats that Fat Tony Scalia has begun affecting.
But Bob,
yes?
What if it goes with my winter coat?
Well, there's got to be something besides a dumbass Thomas More hat.
I'll think about it.
Or a Thomas More ass hat, or whatever it was. It's got to be. You know what? You know what great would go great with your winter attire? Something I just learned about in Wisconsin. And it will. You will start a rage on the Princeton campus. What you need, Cassie, for cold weather, is a Stormy Cromer hat.
Oh, what kind of hat?
Stormy Cromer, Stormy Cromer. Your head cannot get cold under a Stormy Cromer hat.
Stormy Cromer.
And what's more, they are American made, and they are guaranteed for life. And even if you lose it, they will replace it for half price.
Bob, it's the ugliest thing on earth.
No, it is not.
Bob, I'm looking at the website. Oh, wait, that was the man's hat. Hold on. I clicked on women. I got better ones. Okay, the women's one's all right, some of them.
Believe me.
Most of them are not all right.
See, there's a note.
Well, there's a problem here.
There's a note from Jenny in Wisconsin. Stormy, nothing else to say.
Where were these people when I was applying to colleges?
What do you mean?
Nobody was telling me about hats then. And you were supposed to buy me a pair of gloves for my high school graduation.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that.
You don't forget.
You promised me back in the 8th grade.
Oh, Jesus, Cassie. Not another woman in my life with a grudge closet. Please.
This song is...
Oh, hell, it's open.
Look at my face.
Well, I tell you what, I'll make up for the gloves with a Stormy Cromer. You just need to measure your head and tell me what size you are. Because these aren't those crappy things with elastic in them. These things are actually sized hats. And you know what?
I just recently learned
when you're standing in 10 below zero and you pull those flaps down over your ears, you might as well be inside on the couch. It's warm.
All right.
You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Albert?
I don't personally know what you're talking. Know what?
Oh, they were all. I mean, you couldn't turn around without seeing somebody wearing one of these things up there.
Yeah, no, I know. I got to get me one of those. I just get those old Carhartts.
No, this is ever so much better.
Yeah, I know.
And they are made in Wisconsin.
Yeah, they got the brim, right?
Yeah. But they make them brimless now, too.
Nah, I need the brim. The wind, I got to be able to tip my head down so it doesn't freeze my tears.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
just to divert You know, it's warm in that shade.
But they are hip and happening hats, Cassie.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
It's better than looking like Scalia, you know.
Right. I'm not going to look like Scalia.
Yeah, see, no, that's unforgivable.
So can I ask a college favor?
Well, I suppose. Yes, you can ask.
So, is there anybody in the Horn family who, since everybody loves me and supports me and wishes me well
Which
and wants
they do.
Me to, you know, succeed, is there anybody I have somehow or other with, like, 2 months left in the school year, I have used up all of my tutoring hours, and I am having, I'm getting a C in physics.
Okay, I got it. Ready? See? Khanacademy.org.
Yeah, that is a great step.
That's all you need. Khan will show you the way. He will refresh you.
I'm having trouble hearing.
Khanacademy.org.
Oh, okay.
I know
about it.
Yeah, use it. It's awesome. It's amazing.
It really is. It's a completely different way of approaching teaching.
Yeah.
You work at it till you get it, and then once you've got it, you move, you know, self-paced.
Yeah. Step by step.
Physics is kicking your butt?
It is. And I liked physics in high school.
No, but this
just,
is this
I don't
is
know,
the,
it just got all complicated on me.
Well, physics has a way of doing that.
I know.
But I'm pretty sure even beyond Khan Academy, which is a great call, Albert, even beyond Khan Academy, there's also, I have no doubt, well, I know for a fact we've got physics geniuses.
Bob, actually, so in the minute and a half since I started this conversation, Psychoticus Rex has been texting me all kinds of stuff because I sent him a problem I was having trouble with the other day. And he's already answered, in the time that we've been talking, he's been telling me which things are algebra and where the Ohm's law comes in.
Psychoticus was one of the first people I thought of, as was Ben Birch.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ben's on a first-name basis with several different atoms. And I don't mean like boron, calcium. No, you know, Fred, Harry, Judy, you know, Mary. Yeah, he knows, yeah.
So, I feel like I'm a little too old to be asking for my, you know, asking for homework help in the Horn chat room. But
No. It's rolling in. Jack in Shreveport says he might be able to help.
So can I say my Horn name on the show? Does that work?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Cassie with a C .at.college.
Cassie.at.college. Yes. Now, so how do folks use that to contact you?
That's my Skype.
Oh, I see. Yes. Cassie.at.college. Awesome. Well, I bet you'll have some help.
Well,
so is it Ohm's law that's busting you or?
It's
the entire known universe at this point.
It's everything that's happened in the last month, really.
Yeah, I am being bedeviled. You are being bedeviled by the natural order of the entire known universe at this point.
Yes, kind of.
I've got a buddy who refers to physics as my old nemesis, physics.
Okay, wait. So Psychoticus in the from six. From 7:40 to 7:43 has just given me exactly how to solve the problem that I sent him on Tuesday.
Sweet.
Awesome.
But he just solved the whole problem in 2 minutes.
But the question is...
And I understand it.
There you go.
There you go.
And see,
I don't want people to
And there's Sparky in the chat room who has an intimate understanding of Ohm's law.
Wait, I lost the chat room. Hold on. It's back there somewhere.
Yeah, the story of my life. Too many tabs.
Oh, there it is. Wow. Okay.
Right. Also, a suggestion for you to go to Wolfram. WolframAlpha.com.
I figured, you know, it's been years since I've been hearing people tell me how much they want to support my education, and I haven't asked for anything except cookies, so, you know.
Right. Well, and a pair of gloves.
Yes, but you promised the pair of gloves, so that's...
Right.
That was...
In my defense, though,
to colleges back east, you would buy me a pair of gloves.
Right, but in my defense, you never sent me a size.
There's not sizes.
Yes, there are.
I wear women's. There's no sizes in gloves.
Yes, there are. Yes, there are.
Yeah. Yes.
I take a large to an extra large depending on the brand.
Well.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, and, you know.
I just wear gloves.
All right.
Cassie, listen, if the glove don't fit.
That's right.
You must acquit. Gloves come in sizes. We learned that to our eternal horror back in the 90s.
Right.
You might have been otherwise engaged when the OJ trial was going on.
I think I was a baby, wasn't I?
Yes.
What year was that?
What was it, 95?
95, 96.
So I was in preschool.
Thereabouts.
So gloves either were mine or they weren't.
True.
Okay, now I'm getting all kinds of more information exactly about...
This is better than church. Ask and you shall receive.
That's right. Instantaneous.
When you have the total resistance, you already have the voltage from the battery, a.k.a. the voltage source, plug into the equation and solve for I. Add the resistors, take the voltage again, and solve for I again. Done. Now I have to look at it and see whether I understand that. Okay.
Okay, and by the way, Philip just explained something to me here. Damn it, Bob.
What did he explain?
He said, damn it, Bob, under the subject line, gloves. Damn it, Bob, you missed the opportunity. You should have told Cassie that you gave considerable reflection to buying her garments and, through hard-earned experience with Agnes, decided not to impose your tastes on her, lest she emerge with a stormy Cromer cap, an overly large flannel shirt, non-fashionable jeans, and shoes that would make her eligible to enter the clogging contest at the nearest Hillbilly Music Fest and appear winsome to the toothless hordes. You did her a kind favor. As for Antonin Scalia, the man is as bloated with his own arrogance as his multiplying chins reflect. What a sad legacy to have to acknowledge Clarence Thomas as your legacy. I remember when Thomas was head of the EEO Commission, an irony equal in horror to Jesse Helms being lead advisor to the NAACP, but unfortunately far more real. That's all for tonight, says Philip.
Get Philip a toaster.
Ted, Philip, Philip moved into toaster territory with that one. Especially
How do I get a toaster?
You know, they just happen randomly. They're like, I don't know, jokers popping up, in a deck of cards. You just have to have that profound moment for the evening. I think you've been toaster worthy a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've ever gotten awarded a toaster. I don't remember everything.
And you just focus on physics.
Yeah.
You get that.
It's actually, it's kind of cool because, whoa, something just happened on my, sorry. Did you hear that?
I did, just barely.
Well, my computer just did something weird. Anyway.
Yeah, I thought I heard it say, help me.
So I think I'm doing all right because I have all A's going into midterms.
Mm-hmm.
Except physics.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, Cassie, we heard the grim horror in your voice when you said, and there was a beat, there was a pause. You can go back and download the podcast later and hear yourself. There was a pause. You said, I have a C in physics.
I know. It's hard. Bob, I'm not used to seeing. I mean, I had two my first year, but I was still figuring out everything. But no, I'm not used to seeing.
Yeah, the only C you want to see is the C that begins with that begins Cassie, right?
Exactly.
George Bush got D when he became president, so you'll be all right with one or two on your record.
Yeah, but I please don't compare me in any way to that man. He's not even a real Texan.
No, it's not a comparison. Not a comparison.
He's not even a Texan.
You haven't started painting self portraits of yourself in the shower, have you?
Well, only when I'm completely bored. But no.
With the little face
you
staring back
you
at you out of the little monkey face staring back at you out of the shaving mirror.
Hey Bob, you saw my paintings. I sent them to you.
I know. Yes, that's why I asked. You haven't started doing the introspective the shower self portraits yet.
No. No, we went back when I was in Texas at Christmas. We all went to a kid's painting place. For the day, one day. Well, for like the afternoon, one day.
Well, it looked like a wonderful time was had by all.
Everybody get along with each other, which was just a little bit beyond expectations, I think. Or below, whatever. It did not work out as intended.
Oh, Tim from L.A. just popped into the chat room with a big hey, Cassie, for you.
Oh.
And Sparky wants you to look up Ohm's Law Magic Circle, and you'll have all the formulas you need.
Oh, okay, cool.
I have a C in physics. It was almost.
I'm sorry, Bob.
Well, no, there was no. I'm proud of you. I'm proud. Because I would be much more disturbed if you said, "Well, I got a C in physics." Because that'd be more like what I'd say. I got a C in physics. What a good boy am I.
I don't want a C in physics. I don't want any C's.
And we don't want you to have them either. But
at least it's not in my major.
So. Yeah.
There's that.
Wait, there's no physics in the human experience?
There's no physics required for my degree.
Oh, well, we need to talk to the department about that.
Well, no, I have science requirements, but it's not specific to physics. I could have taken chemistry. I could have taken more biology. I took one semester. I could take another semester of biology. But I chose physics because I was really good at it in high school.
And because it's fun.
And, you know, it actually is, but honestly... In high school, we would, like, go outside and lie down on the floor of the school with cars that were going up and down ramps. we had fun with it. We had a pendulum set up right there in the classroom.
Yeah, they're a little more hardcore up now, right?
Yes.
So it is Friday night in Princeton, New Jersey.
Yes, and I'm going out in about an hour.
Okay, I wanted to make sure of that.
The only night, so I've been very good about going out and having fun with people my own age and doing all the stuff that you've been telling me to do, except for the night when everything turned into ice, and then I stayed holed up in my room.
That's okay. That's displaying the onset of wisdom.
Right. Well, I went out that whole afternoon and played in the snow for like 3 hours. And then when it all froze again, I went back inside and stayed in my room.
Is this the part where you did that? Were you telling me you did that without gloves?
Why would I do that without gloves?
Okay.
Do I look crazy?
Just checking.
I did that without horn gloves, but that's a whole different story.
Well, we'll have to get the design team on the horn gloves. Little layer,
just,
some Thinsulate, little
I
layer
know
of Gore-Tex.
That Agnes canceled horn T-shirts.
Yes.
What year was that?
Oh God, that was 95, 96.
No, when you had the horn logo.
Yeah, no, yeah, that was 95 or 96.
No, you had that logo when I first came.
Yes. It was about the same time.
And somebody mentioned making T-shirts, and Agnes said, absolutely not, no way, because of where the... Because the horn logo would have looked like two giant boobs right on top of your boobs.
Yeah, and they did. And they did. We didn't rerun
them. So somebody made them, and then you figured it out that you shouldn't sell them?
Sometimes you have to go through the whole manufacturing process to sort out design flaws like that.
Okay, I did not know that these things actually existed.
Yeah.
Now I want one.
Well, they're like that one Beatles cover that's, you know, really, really rare, that they can't be found.
Hey, Bob, do you have horn stuff? Like, can people buy
horn bumper
stickers and all that kind of stuff?
We had a horn store at one point, and we're working on pulling one of those back together.
Because that might, I mean, people who might... It might be good for advertising, but it also might be good for, you can set the price to things. And then people can, I mean, you have to make sure that you don't get it made in China by, you know, little slave children. But other than that, you should still be able to make a profit selling that kind of stuff, right?
Is it not enough? No.
It would just be to get the name out there and to have people...
Right. Exactly. You just got an offer in, Cassie, from Jenny. Let me give you the exact text here. I can make some homemade felted wool mittens. Her hands will never be cold again.
Wow.
How's that?
That sounds great.
So maybe a full scale tracing of your, a two scale tracing of your hand.
Okay. You really think these things come in sizes?
I know they do. Just like tamales come in cans.
Trust me.
We are not having a tamale conversation. I can't believe you buy canned tamale. Did we have that conversation on the air?
No, we did not.
I know we had that conversation on the phone.
No, we did not have that on the air.
So, okay, do people on the horn know that in Texas, tamales are the Christmas food?
I imagine the Texas contingent does, or maybe
right.
The Southwest contingent.
Okay, so tamales are like the most, more than turkeys, more than, I don't know what else is people eat on Christmas, more than candy canes. Tamales are the Christmas food. And you buy them in cans.
That's how they bring them to the Hillbillies.
You did get those recipes, I said.
Yes. Yes, and I have every ambition in the world of making my own.
Okay, and you know that we have lots of Texans who can ship you groceries.
Yes. Although I checked, I there's actually masa flour in one of the local grocery stores. So.
And is there some of it in the Kincaid household?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
I have bought a package.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I've even got my very own tortilla press. So, I mean.
So, Bob, what is the problem here? You know how to cook? You should never again.
It would take an entire show to explain what is the problem here. I'm in the middle of. Do you remember me talking about the flooded studio?
Yes.
Yeah, that's part of the problem right now. I've got to replumb this whole daggum house.
So your kitchen's not working?
Oh, it works. It works. But not enough for me to go into a full scale never done it before cooking project.
Oh, okay. Well, next time you're in New Jersey, I will find us a kitchen that works. And I will make us tomorrow.
I would sit down and make an absolute glutton of myself under those circumstances.
And we can have Christmas whenever it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And no offense to one of my absolutely, absolutely 100% favorite horn people, but there will be no vegan anything in these tamales.
Oh, no. that's that, no, that is an offense unto the nostrils of the universe. No, I understand. By the way, you're getting a little pushback. You're getting a little pushback from Tim from L.A. He says, why Texas only? There's also the contingent from East L.A. We know from tamales. He was equally horrified to learn that they come in cans.
Bob, I was ready to just fly there for Christmas when we had this conversation. and I think it was like 2 days before Christmas.
Yeah,
and
I was deeply tamale deprived.
Yeah, I was completely horrified. And honestly, everybody I was staying with, I guess by that point, no, not staying with, my friends in Texas would have sent you homemade tamales.
Wow.
Like.
No, and I do. I love them.
My, like, actual.
And a really, really good homemade chili relleno as well. I get weepy over those.
Well, because, you know what? I've been listening since the beginning of the program, and you did not yet have a food porn section.
Well, I think, but now we have.
We had to do that.
Yes. And now I'm starving. Mmm, peanut butter and crackers right after the show. I'm on it.
Are you allowed to eat tamales? Now, that's the other question.
That's one of those things that I'm not going to ask permission over.
Well, you come to New Jersey or Texas.
Or East L.A.
Or East L.A., and we will, the Horn family will take care of you, and we will get you tamales. Just do not go to Betsy's house. They're not real.
You're not. She's going to hear the podcast, Cassie.
It's okay.
Did you say they're not real?
They're not. There was nothing real in them. There was masa, but nothing else was real. I mean, it was lovely. It was wonderful. I was so glad to have, you know, my dietary needs respected. But they were vegan, Bob. There was nothing in them.
There was no there. There was no there there.
There was not. But it was very sweet. I mean, for a Jewish mother to, you know, find you tamales for Christmas. But
that's,
I guess,
beautiful.
You couldn't find kosher tamales.
I don't think there
are. Christmas.
Well, I bet there are. I bet there are kosher tamales.
I think there are. I don't know. But
no, like a tamale filled with tempeh or something like that? Pass.
I don't remember what it was.
I don't know. I think Albert's the quietly rethinking the idea of maybe adding tamales to the pizza store menu.
Well, you know, taco pizza is a big deal up here, and, you know, as sacrilegious as it is, I do somewhat enjoy them, and my rendition is actually, you know, I don't want to break my own arm, but it's pretty good, so I'm sure we could figure out a way to lay a few of those on there, you know, but, you know, one step at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Anyway, I actually have to go.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful Friday night.
You too.
And,
I mean, I'll still be in the chat room, but I need to, like, start doing stuff.
Yeah, do your physics before you go out on Friday night.
I was going to do my hair, actually, but.
Oh.
That's physics, too.
You're darn right it is.
I do my physics tomorrow. Can I do my physics tomorrow?
Okay, yeah. Do your physics tomorrow.
Okay.
Maybe over brunch.
Okay.
All right. Cassie, have a wonderful weekend. Bye.
You too. I love you.
Be good.
We love you. Bye.
Bye.
And that's our Cassie at college, who now apparently, upon sending me a tracing of her hand, will have warm felted wool mittens that are coming from Wisconsin, which means her hands will never be allowed to get cold again. Yay. Friday night. Friday. Hey, Albert, I meant to tell you.
Yes, sir.
I forget what mission we were on when we were up in Hayward, but I wound up walking through a grocery store. And it was a very nice grocery store. It's called Marketplace or something like that. It has great big commercial grocery stores go.
Okay.
But you know me, I have to survey the beer aisle. And, of course, all those new Glarus beers were on the shelf there, and I really am. I'm gonna have to do some sort of 21st century Smokey and the Bandit kind of thing, and take a semi to Wisconsin and just load it with New Glarus and bring it back here.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side was their liquor aisle. And I figured something. It's not a joke up there. It really isn't. I mean, there were three or four brands of tequila and three or four brands of gin, three or four brands of vodka, a couple of bourbons, a couple of Canadian whiskeys.
Mm-hmm.
And I kid you not, two entire stacked 8 feet high shelves full of different brandies.
Yep.
I thought it was a joke.
No. No, it's serious. They drink so much brandy here, it's like water. It's ubiquitous. They don't even think about it. You could talk about brandy, what? You know, sometimes they have different names for it. You know, Apfel or Poland or Polish or, you know, it depends if it's a flavored or not. You know, it's like, I don't think they have 7-Up in here without brandy in it. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, brandy, you know, brandy's quite nice in the winter, I gotta say. You know, it's a warmth, you know, makes me feel like King Henry II or whatever from, you know, Lion in Winter, drinking spiced brandy. It's a nice, you know, and then you got the homemade stuff, and then you got the Korbel, and yeah, they don't mess around. They're as serious with the brandy up here as Kim Jong-il was with Chivas Regal over in North Korea, so... If you started taking away their brandy, you'd see Wisconsin would be, you know, nuclear armed here shortly.
Well, see, I have that and I smuggled home cheese curds as well.
Yeah, they don't last forever though. Those are like a vapor. You gotta get them when they're fresh, and you know you can freeze them, but you know don't freeze them and unfreeze them and freeze them and unfreeze them.
No, the squeaky goes away.
Yeah, the squeaky does go away. Stick them in the microwave for about 15 seconds, and that heat.
Oh, I didn't know that. Our buddy Bruce introduced me to the cheese curd capital of the world, and so others need not apply. My cheese curds come from the Ellsworth Creamery,
okay.
the cooperative creamery,
mm-hmm.
And they're amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got. And I'll tell you, I've found ways to incorporate cheese curds into my pizza recipes, and I really like to take when I make my pulled pork barbecue pizza. I like sticking dill cheese curds in the crust.
Oh, yum!
Yeah, that's a good little thing to do, and you know, because yeah, they have those, and they have dill,
Cajun, and taco, and barbecue, and garlic, yeah. And plain, and
pepper jack curds.
Oh, I haven't seen the pepper jack curds. Those would have to be good.
You know, I mean, maybe it's not at the Capitol, but you know,
yeah.
I have no regional preferences here. You know, I'm actually still looking for an establishment. I'm looking for a place. A lot of these places here, it's like where I am right now here, it's like Harris BMO. They came in and bought the bank out in a hedge fund right around the collapse time. And then they started liquidating all their rural accounts and, you know, stymieing money. I believe I told you this story regarding, you know, a couple of years back, you know, here in the winter, our furnace decided to putz out because it never does, you know, it never does that in the spring.
No.
It has to do
air conditioners go down in July.
Yeah.
Furnaces go down in January. It's one of those natural laws that I'm sure Cassie will be learning about here presently.
For real. Yeah, that's what it was. One of those part of physics I wanted to jump there and tell her about Murphy's Law, and she needs to know that, because that's, you know, that's just the law, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but the neat thing is, and I was going to bring this up, and I forgot, if only she was going to an institution of higher learning in Oklahoma.
Ah.
Did you catch up with this one, Albert?
Well, what happened now? What do they do now?
Well, if you are a school child in Oklahoma, and you are, say, taking high school AP physics, and they ask you to run an equation, say, you know, we were talking about Ohm's law a minute ago. See, you can get to the end, and you can say, because Jesus.
Hey, there's Oklahoma earning their stand every day. They earn their stand, don't they?
Yes, they do. Oklahoma stand.
Yikes, Oklahoma.
But what's funny is that they're actually playing catch-up, and, you know, the rivalry between Oklahoma and Texas is very real. You know, what happens there, you know, the Red River, my goodness. And it ain't just football. Because it was years and years ago that Texas introduced its own version of that bill in which little Timmy or little Susie could say, 4 + 3, Jesus, 12. 1 + 1, Jesus, 6.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus, help us. Oh, please, come down just for 5 minutes. Please. These people have lost it. It's unbelievable. Oh, God. Oh. Telling you, there'll be some smiting going on.
Oh, and by the way, we've got an early order in from Marty, Brother Albert. As quick as we get the transporter set up, you know, move into that Star Trek future, you've got your first delivery order to California.
Oh, most certainly. I'll put it in the transporter. We'll get it going.
Yeah, Marty just gave me a whole new level of horror to contemplate. He says, and just think, air traffic controllers get their first training in Oklahoma. Yeah, I'll slow you down.
You know, but at the same time, there are always little niches, you know. There are always little isolated pockets of sanity in these places. And so we can never discount. I mean, it's unfortunate, you know, when a state earns the stand recognition, it is unfortunate. But that doesn't mean, you know, the whole entire 100% is lockstep.
Oh, no, BART cops in Oklahoma, so we know, yeah. You know there's a little bit of sanity at work out there.
Yeah, you know, so maybe hopefully, you know, but then again, you know, are these air traffic controllers, are these Republican Republicans going to they're gonna turn the wheel at the last minute. They're too cowardly, I think, personally. You know, I don't think they're going to allow this sequester, even though they wanted it, 99%, right? 99%, yeah, something Boehner said, something about 99%, what he wanted, which is this. Okay, all right.
Talk about earning your stand. Want to go to Ohio for a minute? No, Tennessee.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Tennessee.
Oh, them too.
So
hey, Wisconsin's got a stand right now until we get rid of Walker. So, you know, I'm not pulling favorites.
So, Deputy Abednego T. Slewfoot.
Okay.
Was on the job, on duty, protecting Tennesseans not too long back.
Mm-hmm.
When some folks from Ohio were driving through.
Mm-hmm. The swarthy kind of Ohioans?
The story from the Columbus Dispatch doesn't give the swarthiness index.
Okay.
Deputy Abednego T. Slewfoot pulled over the Ohio couple. This from the Columbus Dispatch News Report. Two officers approached the car, one side of the car. The driver, Bonnie Jonas Baggioni, said they were serious. They were very serious. They had the body armor and the guns.
Wait, Baggioni? Oh, yeah, they're swarthy. Go ahead. Sorry. I'm Italian, I'm allowed.
Oh, God. The deputies, the hard-working deputies.
I can just hear, what you I-ties doing out here this far? I can hear it now. Sorry.
No. West Tennessee. And they're from Ohio. And you know how Ohioans are, and I don't mean to make broad sweeping generalizations, but they are proud, as I know from having a long association with my dear friend Guy James, they are very proud of their university football team.
Mm-hmm.
Which are the Buckeyes.
Mm-hmm.
and they often display their team swag or their team spirit on their automobiles.
Mm-hmm, with a big old O, right?
Right, and the team logo, mascot, whatever, you know, a Buckeye with a leaf.
Mm-hmm.
So Officer Abednego T. Slewfoot walks up and says, after Ms. Jonas Baggioni has been pulled over, "What are you doing with a marijuana sticker on your bumper?" And Ms. Baggioni, who at that point in time realizes that things can go sideways in a real freaking hurry, you know, this is where we cue up Charlie Daniels from when Charlie Daniels was fun to listen to, you know, Uneasy Rider.
Mm-hmm.
"What are you doing with a marijuana sticker on your bumper?" And she said, "Well, we're from Ohio, and we're fans of our football. Y'all play football up there? Ain't even in the SEC. It's a Buckeye leaf. It's a decal. It's to see the Ohio State University is. We're the Buckeyes, you see." And he says, "Well, another officer outside my jurisdiction seen your sticker. Radioed ahead. He thought it might be indicative of the fact that you are carrying the marijuana." Now, see, this is one of those onion. I don't mean the publication. I mean, you know, the stuff, you know, because you got to go through the layers.
Yeah.
Because even if it is a marijuana sticker, there in Tennessee, Stan, that doesn't mean it creates probable cause to pull a car over.
Mm-hmm.
Constitutionally speaking, you could get a great big white Winnebago and paint marijuana leaves, all cannabis leaves, all over it, Brother Albert.
Mm-hmm.
And the cops, unless you had violated some local ordinance or state law, or they got to let you go on down the road about your business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're getting all Cheech and Chongy and there's this Colombian sauna smoke blowing out of the windows, yeah, that might be a clue.
Maybe. But while Officer Goober Gobber over here is pulling these folks over, you know, how many cars are going by? Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Right.
Loaded. You know, yeah. Yeah, I knew it. Oh, they're up to something. Mama squirrel. These guys are just such a joke. And that's the other thing, too. I mean, you know Tennessee is Stan. The Stans will be the last places this stuff's legalized. You know,
yeah.
I mean, because it's coming. I mean, there's, you know, with Colorado and Washington, you know, and there's some bills going in, and we'll see. And, you know, they're always looking money for preschool. Well, you know, it is the largest cash crop in this country.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's not, what kind of reprobate? What a beady pig. It's just, what a fool. I mean, I can see, you know.
I see.
You know,
yeah, that's a fine marijuana sticker you got there on your car.
Yeah, I mean, if you got a marijuana sticker on your car and it says.
The lady was 65 years old.
Well, that's glaucoma range, Brother Bob. And, I mean, come on now. I mean, arthritis and hips and all that stuff. I mean, I heard they've been using it, trying to slither in to use these mind-bending chemicals. But, I mean, you know, I could see, you know, hey, pig, want a donut or, you know, 420 all over your car and stuff like that. I mean, you're asking for it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But a Buckeye sticker? What's
wrong? Yeah, east of I-4, east of Memphis on I-40, traveling in the westbound lane. Black police SUV, flashing lights, pulls them over. Second black SUV pulls up behind. You know, you're going to need backup when you're pulling over the 65 and 66-year-old Mr. and Mrs. Baggioni on their way from Columbus to Plano. They live in Plano. She's the president of the past president of the Dallas chapter of Ohio State Alumni Association.
Well, the mafia is supposed to have gone legit, so, you know, you never trust them too much. You never trust them. You know, you need seven. Maybe they should have got seven squad cars. Never be too safe.
This needs to be made. Oh, God. This needs to be made into a movie, Brother Albert. So they pull her over, and the Bagionis have a pair of barking schnauzers in the back seat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, so all right, we're over the top with the drug transport mule profile, you know, midstock sexagenarian schnauzers. I mean, that just, yeah, might as well be Willie Nelson. Search the car. So they make it, ma'am, your dogs are barking too loudly. Would you step out of the car, please? What are you doing with a marijuana sticker on your bumper?
God.
And then this quote, after she explains the Buckeye leaf to him, he looked at me like I was speaking a foreign language.
There's no tasers and mace involved in this, is there?
No.
I saw it going.
So before they let her go on her way, according to the Columbus Dispatch, before they let her go on her way, the officers looked at her and said, "If I was you, I'd take that marijuana leaf off my car." Mrs. Bagioni said, "I said, you mean in Tennessee?" And he said, "No, permanently." Now see, but like I said, there's multiple layers here. I think he's just a pissed off UT fan.
Maybe, yeah. Did they lose?
I mean, are they pulling over Tennessee drivers for having that T on the back of their car? You know, it could stand for tetrahydrocannabinol.
That's right. I'm sure he'll get his detective badge soon.
And his secret decoder ring. Jesus Christ.
You know, I just, it's sad. It's a sad, pathetic, just, ugh. You know, it's nothing like, right back into that, you know, anytime they do those medical studies of fMRIs about the, you know, amygdalas and the thalamus and all that stuff, and, you know, the difference between the conservative and the, you know, non-conservative brain. You know, and then all the comments come in, and they just prove exactly what the scientific study said. And so there's nothing like reinforcing stereotypes. You know, like, oh, you're in Tennessee, a fan, and you think that, I get that one confused with the orange. You know, I'm not as familiar with the collegiate sports as some of you guys. And so, you know, I mean, the Buckeye, it's a leaf. It doesn't look like a cannabis leaf, does it? It doesn't look like nothing like a cannabis leaf, right?
Not even remotely. Can you imagine these Nijinskis on a bust?
Oh, that's oregano? Yeah, that's oregano. I swear, that's oregano. I use it for my pizza and basil. And it's my own special.
God forbid you've got a Japanese lace leaf maple growing out front.
Bamboo.
They got a marijuana forest out here.
You know what, though, Brother Bob? That happens a lot. That happens more than you think. People get raided and stuff, and, you know, they have their property seized, and they're over there looking for marijuana, and it's castor oil bean, you know, castor beans, or it's just some whatever, you know. And it's like, and we all know what a farce the drug war is anyway, but it gets real sad when they can't even identify these things. And, you know, like, it's like, could you recognize it if it bit you? But you don't see the big O, you don't see the guy's smiley face. I mean, does he look stoned to you? Or are you just smiling? I mean, that's enough? That's PC? I mean, and they're protecting and serving. You got nothing else to do. I mean, that's what I mean. You got nothing else to do. You're going to harass some, you know, 65-year-old people. And then, you know, I guess all age groups, right? All age groups are now fit the profile because, you know, they probably were alive and then.
Well, Cassie says it was the Texas plates that clued in the officers.
Okay.
Yeah. Retiree couple, parking schnauzers.
Yeah.
Marijuana leaf on the car, Texas
what
plates.
What kind of car, by the way? It doesn't say.
Nah, they don't say. Come on. You know. I mean, it was either a Toyota Camry or a Mercury Grand Marquis, Crown Vic, you know, maybe Lincoln Town Car.
Yeah, or even maybe one of those new fancy LaCrosses.
But it was something that probably just screamed a marijuana transporter.
Yeah,
I mean, did it even occur within what few dangling, barely connected synapses are in this clown's mind that if you are a marijuana courier, if you're part of the Cannabis Pony Express, you're probably not going to be going down the road, you know, with a pot leaf on your car.
Probably not.
That's how they are. They try to hide in plain sight, you know.
Tennessee is that place where the guy was living on top of that cave, and he converted it into a grow room, right? I'm pretty sure that was Tennessee. Yeah, because he was near Memphis. And I don't know if you ever heard this story or not, but he had the power company put in an extra transformer out in front of his house. He discovered that there was a natural cave underneath in his basement, and so he put a blast door in there. And I think he was pulling out $1.8 million in marijuana every couple months, every 3 months. And this goober, who had it all in terms of, you know, being a criminal or, you know, making money in the black market, he didn't pay his power bill. And that's how they caught him. So chances are, if there is marijuana in the state of Tennessee, it's being grown right under their nose. It's probably even being grown by their kid in their backyard.
And they've got their secret high sign because they drive around with marijuana leaf stickers on their cars.
Keep looking. Keep looking, Officer Friendly. Keep going. You'll get them. You'll get that big bus one day. You'll get your stripe.
You got a search warrant for the. You're gonna have to get a search warrant for these schnauzers, officer. I'm sorry, I got to draw a line somewhere.
Probably wearing them little vests, and there ain't no way if you put. I mean, actually, that's probably a good place to stash it. You know, put a little vest on them. You know, a little sweater. You put the pocket on the inside. You ain't gonna. You know, you get one of those schnauzers there, and they ain't gonna be touching it. You know, they'll nip your finger right off. So you know, that's a good spot. You're thinking, Bob. That's some good thinking.
Top shelf, I like to think.
It is. Well, it is. I mean, you know, and it would be great if as soon as they looked at each other, took the doob out of her hair, and drove down the street. That would be how we'd finish the movie.
Yeah.
Riding that train.
Please, can we just legalize this stuff? And I don't know. It might put certain radio hosts out of business if he didn't have stories like this to report. But God.
Well, speaking of certain,
I mean, because you know the chief was back at the. Hey, chief, Breaker Truth. I think we got us a big one here. You might want to get the drug task force out and bring the big van.
I need a canine unit.
They got schnauzers.
Yeah, they got schnauzers. They're trying to cover. You know, because that's what would happen. You know, those dogs.
But you want to think that, you know, that Jackie Gleason is waiting back at the station. What knee, Sam held it? You pulled it.
You got us in the paper, you idiot. You'd like to think, but.
What we have here is failure to communicate. I don't want to see any marijuana leaf stickers on bumpers back in the box.
That's what it is, isn't it? The little fascist comes out. And I'm telling you, we need to reassess how we hire peace enforcement officers. I think this is just another indication of just how rotted the drug war has made them. I mean, they can't see their nose in front of their face. You know, I mean, really, that's what you're looking at. You know. And that's where your big bust is going to. I mean, and not to say, you know, I mean, heck, you know, and in fact, in a sense, you know, if you were running something, you know, from Texas to Ohio, what have you, you know, well, some 65-year-old people with a couple of schnauzers might be good cover.
Now stop that. You're not. You're making it worse.
Well, I'm not. I mean, I'm just saying, you know. I mean, if you're going to be Kaiser Soze about it, I mean, you know. I mean, at the same time,
send Mr. Kobayashi in to get your bail.
Yeah. You never seen them before. But I mean, just the. I mean, I'll tell you. I had an incident. It's just. You know, some people get a badge in there, and everything that they see is something. I'll never forget when I came back from Japan after just a hellacious typhoon-delayed trip. I was living in the airport for days, smelling to, I don't even know what I was smelling like, high-tech Japanese food. And I got, you know, they gave me the whole runaround and search and the cat, and then I didn't get the cavity, but I got the whole pat down and all this other stuff. And it was because I was wearing an Akira shirt, and he didn't know what that Akira thing was. It was just, you know, it the things that the time wasted, you know, the hours that went. It was 3 hours of nonsense. I was so upset. I was so furious. That's another reason I'm not flying after that. I think that was the last time I flew. It was just ridiculous. And, you know, I don't even got words for how stupid this whole thing is. It's just dumb. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. They acted like, you know, going to catch the Midnight Express or something. And no. I mean, you know, no, you're not going to get that. And, those people there, they got some cookies in there, you know. And that's, you know, heck, if you're that age, that you should be doing anyway, edibles, because they never find those. We probably, would you like a cookie, officer? That'd be great. Whoa. Oh, my God.
Sergeant Stadenko. Wasn't that who it was?
It is. I can't be. Yeah. Yeah, Sergeant Stadenko. God, that was a great part of that film.
Yeah, didn't he turn into a lizard?
Something? No, that was in Fear and Loathing. He turned into something, though. He got all, say, right. What was that? There's a David O. Russell movie. Was that Flirting with Disaster? You ever seen that one?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, David O'Reilly, I guess he's up for a couple Academy Awards with this movie that he's got out now. But you know, he's made some good ones over the past. I like him as a director and his story. But anyway, this was with Ben Stiller, and this was like before Ben Stiller got real big. And you know, apparently they had a child or something like that, and he wanted to find his parents. He was adopted. Alan Alda is his dad. And what's her name? Oh, she's great too. Oh, I can't think of her name. I'm blanking out on it. Anyway, she used to be the phone company. Remember her?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, her. And then her parents were LSD manufacturers, and they went to jail, or they got busted, and so they had to put him up for adoption. And then the FBI is hot on their case, and winds up one of the guys is real high strung, winds up getting dosed by the jealous younger brother, and I am the wind, you can't catch the wind. That's a great part of the film. Anyway, but yeah, that's usually, those people are a little too wound up. They need a little loosening up. You can't even let these people drive with a Buckeye sticker. If you can't identify that, it might be time to put the badge down and go to Jamaica for a minute. I mean,
for a minute. You know,
Just for a little bit, or Colorado, you know, or somewhere that, you know, give you some experience and perspective, you know, because, you know, I mean, you know, I don't even know what are the laws in Tennessee stand, just, you know, I don't even know what they are, but they're...
Oh, you can probably do life for two stems and a seed.
Yeah, castration! Castration! it's not a good look, Tennessee. You guys need to step on into the 21st century eventually.
Well, remember, they've still got that goober over there in the state house trying to make sure that the teachers rat out suspected gay students in high school.
What?
Oh, yeah. The guy who authored the Don't Say Gay bill last year.
Oh.
Came back. Yeah, he's back. Round two. And he reintroduced the Don't Say Gay bill, but he added on to it because he's had a year to think about it. And he doesn't just want them to not say gay. If a teacher suspects a student is gay, she is to immediately call home. You know what? You know how your son's so, we've always said he's so sensitive? I think he likes other boys in a non-biblical way.
Oh, you phrased that wonderfully.
You know, because I can't say the G-A-Y word.
No, I can't.
Kind of sodomy. Sodomish.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, they better get cracking. They better, you know, because I think the only laws that they, you know, the laws they want are the Sharia. You know, they are projecting it ceaselessly. So they should better get that Sharia installed, and you know, then they can maybe do something about it, right?
Yeah.
Sharia. God. What a world. What kind of crap? I don't even understand it. It's like, I think as everyone else is stepping into Star Trek world, these guys are just, they're not. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, they're cutaway stickers. They're just, what, really? And they take pride in this, and they just keep broadcasting it, and it just keeps, I mean, the mask is melted off. They're over here talking about, you know, lies from the pit of hell, and it just is relentless. It's just unbelievable, you know, and they're trying to hold the entire, you know, country hostage, you know. It's like, what, England just got degraded, right?
They
got downgraded their bond rating, and they followed this severe austerity path, and what did it do?
And that's what we need.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need to do that, and then, you know, have our infrastructure, whatever. I mean, yeah, I'll tell you one thing I've noticed about West Virginia is you guys have a lot of bridges. I don't think there's more bridges per capita anywhere except in West Virginia. I mean, you guys have bridges. And I don't know, the report card for our infrastructure isn't real hot.
No.
And you know,
hey, you know the one the bridge I cross the most in this state is 876 feet above the canyon floor and a little over a mile long, and in high winds will sway 8 feet side to side. It's engineered that way.
Yeah, I can see that, but you know, it probably needs some grease in some of them hinges, you know. And I don't think that the coal ash is gonna lubricate it like it needs to be. I mean, I'm sure it needs something. It probably needs some paint or a cable or something, some rope. I mean, what are you gonna do? I hope you always make it over that bridge safely, Brother Bob. That's all I can say. If not, well. 800 feet's pretty long way down. You might be able to evolve some wings or something. Open those doors and start flying.
Because we, after all, believe in evolution. Well, do yourself a favor, Albert. Go over to theduffelblog.com and read the headline story, Guantanamo Prisoners to Receive GI Benefits.
Yeah.
See how many paragraphs you have to get in there before you realize that you're dealing with some funny.
Yeah.
And you know, you can also read the sidebar of other stories like talks break down with Taliban after Brit ambassador says their tea sucks. Duffel blog writers launch a surprise air assault on Onion News Network. Just how many paragraphs do you get in there before you go, well, this is kind of cute. And then just you know, move one state north from Tennessee to Kentucky Stan, and imagine the moment when the mail came in to the office of Senate Minority Leader Mitch the Chinless Turtle McConnell, and the staffer who opened it, who read the story, and then wrote now famously or infamously. The letter to the Department of Defense asking, by God, for an immediate explanation on why Guantanamo prisoners were being accorded GI benefits. Somewhere down around Nashville,
yeah.
Ashley Judd opened her email, saw the story from Wired magazine, and sat there staring in wondrous amazement at this thing. No, he didn't, really. No. No, he couldn't, but he did. Oh, dear God. But see, that's, you know, the fact that, he, Well, no, I don't mean that Mitch McConnell's a moron. That means that Mitch McConnell really cares about our freedoms. He's defending our freedom against even imaginary jihadis.
He's thinking ahead.
Because, you know, that's how that Kenyan Muslim socialist works. He probably would give GI benefits to them jihadis.
Yeah, I mean,
because, you know, he's one with them in spirit because he is a Muslim.
Mm-hmm. I think you're dead on right there. I think that's how far gone they are. And that, imagine them viewing some of those Onion News clips. You know, because that's one of those things, you know, when they put those, you ever seen those? You know, I mean, those Onion News clips, I mean, you know it's satire, but the straight face way, deadpan that they deliver it is just, it's just
perfect.
Amazing.
It's just perfect.
It would melt their mind.
Man, passionate defender of Constitution that exists only in his own mind.
Yeah, for real.
It really is. There's been tons of brilliant satire from those folks, but that one is the defining piece of satire for our age. Hey, Albert, let's I tell you what. I'm going to roll on here. It's been a wonderful evening. We'll get a couple more folks on the air. You have a great weekend. Stay warm and look up a Stormy Cromer. Maybe they've got child sizes for the girls and little Lito.
Yeah, his little big head is growing too fast. His mother's a crochet and knitter, so she can get that handled. But yeah, I've got to get me one for myself. My head stopped growing, I think. So. You guys have a great weekend. You stay warm. You guys have a little cold weather as well. Maybe we'll get out of this winter one day.
I hope so.
You guys be good. We'll talk later.
All right. See you, Albert. Bye now.
Bye, everybody.
Brother Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin, kind of co-hosting with me this evening. About 20 minutes left in the program. We're going to go back to the phones. A quick reminder, we are now $40 away from meeting Dr. Allen's challenge, which means that we are $190 away from making our fundraising goal for the evening. PayPal buttons at headonradionetwork.com. The snail mail address is as well under the tab Contribute. We will move onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
This is Edward.
Well, hey, Edward.
Yeah, I wanted to tell you about tamales. We we go to this place that makes their own tamales, and they're handmade, and they're absolutely marvelous. And we bring them home and take them out of the corn husk, and then I've made some chili gravy that I put over them.
Lord, I love that stuff.
Thank you. Yeah, they're some kind of good.
Oh, I know, and that chili gravy. Mercy. yeah. Eat it with a spoon or drink it through a straw. Either one's fine by me.
Either way. Anyway, I listened to you talking about physics. I remember years ago when I was taking physics, my professor had a PhD in physics, and he was the head of the physics department. And this student said to him one day and asked him his question, and the professor said, "Well, I really don't know." And the student said, but you're an expert." And the physics professor said, "Please don't ever call me that again." And the student said, "Why?" He said, "Because X is an unknown quantity and a spurt is a drip under pressure." So I've never forgotten that.
Nicely done.
Nicely done, let me tell you. Anyway, this guy, Ted Cruz, here in Texas.
Yes, your new Senator McCarthy.
Oh, please. Thank you. I look at him and I see his body movement and his hands and his face and his eyes, and he's so sincere, and I thought, my God, that's Joe Malarkey all over again.
Well, now he keeps doubling down or upping the ante or however you want, whatever gambling metaphor you want to use, Edward. He has now declared that Harvard Law School is chock-a-block in commies, and he's got a list.
Oh, well, I'm sure. And I remember Joe McCarthy himself. You're too young. You don't remember him in person like I did. And, oh, my God. Have you ever heard of the Pogo the Possum cartoon?
Oh, I'm a devotee.
Oh, you are? Well, how wonderful. Anyway, there was a character in that, and he was an old bobcat, and he always had a 5 o'clock shadow on his face, and he was known as Joe Malarkey.
Wow.
And actually, I used to know the Pogo Christmas Carol. It went out something like this. Deck the halls with Boston Charlie, Walla Walla Wash in Kalamazoo. Norris freezing on the trolley, Walla Walla Wash in Kalamazoo. And I can't remember the rest of it. But that was the...
Well, Walt Kelly was a century ahead of his time. There would have been no Bloom County, no Doonesbury, no, well, goodness. He set the stage for because do you remember the strips when he went after the communist witch hunt, and he had Stalin and, it was Khrushchev and Castro were done up as, I forget, it was like a goat and a pig or something.
I don't quite remember that, but I do remember old Joe Malarkey.
And I remember when he created, and, you know, it was quite daring for its time, he created the Jackacid Society. J-A-C-K-A-C-I-D.
Mm-hmm.
And the strips contained meetings of the Jackacid Society. But my favorite characters were always the little conniving bats.
Well, I guess I was too young in those days to be invited to the Jackass Society. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. Anyway, just enjoyed talking with you, and you're going to be flying around this next week.
No, next week I'm home. With any luck at all, so.
Oh well.
I get to stay home for a week. It's kind of nice.
I was going to wish you the best, because anymore you just flitter around like a butterfly in heat.
Oh, I am. I'm a social butterfly, Edward.
Well, take care.
You have a good evening and a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, and the same to you.
Bye now.
Bye bye.
Edward calling from Dallas. Let's move over to the Skype line. The Angry Indian joins us.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Not too good. Being native, I'm sitting around looking at Chuck Grassley and asking why. Just not understanding, and not understanding the native people who vote Republican and who...
They exist?
Yeah, they exist. They're out there. I mean, they may not vote Republican. They talk Republican, you know. Mostly because Republicans don't go out there. Unless they need votes, you know, when Senator Van Nighthorst Campbell stepped down, that was kind of where the break came with a lot of people in mainstream Indian country and the Republican Party.
Wow.
It depends on who, you know, where you go and who you ask, but, you know, I know you talked about Chuck Grassley, but, you know, last night, but it's like, you know, Chuck Grassley, Wayne LaPierre, this other fool, Larry Pratt, over at, whatever these gun lobbies are.
Gun Owners of America. Yeah, that guy's a real Lulu. Somebody needs to chase him down with a net.
Yeah, I understand where it's coming from, but then I don't understand, you know, because when you try to talk about racism, because you and I have discussed this, you people will look at Obama and then they'll hear what these folks are saying and then they'll stand in like, oh, I don't understand what's happening, when we do understand what's happening.
Well, yeah,
you know,
No, Barack Obama is what he is, and that is a creature of the corporate class. I would be thrilled to death if he was half as liberal or half as progressive as what his enemies say he is.
Yeah.
If Barack Obama was the wild-eyed Molotov cocktail throwing Marxist that the right portrays him as, you know what? We wouldn't still be waiting around to find out if the Keystone XL pipeline was going to go through. It would be over. It would be done.
Mm. Well, he must have forgotten where he put his comfortable shoes, the ones that he was going to lead the union marches with.
Right.
In the States. But, yeah, well, one thing I want to bring up, because I had sent you a couple of notes. I'm sitting for at least the next few hours in Seattle because I have to come to Seattle, Washington sometimes for employment. And I'm looking at the news. I'm sitting in front of this machine in the cyber cafe where I am now, and I'm reading about the Hanford nuclear reservation. It's been leaking.
Yeah, the one with the leak? Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, but they reported it when I first heard about it was the 15th. And now they're saying today that it's, they can't really push it back any further. It's that bad. It's that bad. And this general area has already been, you know, we're still getting the effects like most of the West Coast, where I am, you know, pretty much further, you know, down south. We're still dealing with contaminated fish coming from Fukushima.
Oh, sure. And there's all kinds of Fukushima waste that's washing up on the, yeah.
Yeah, it's bad. So now the Hanford nuclear site is something that, I can't remember the name of the clerics, the priests, and I believe a few nuns who are actually sitting in prison right now for protesting against that particular site.
Right.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Just for background purposes, six underground containers that are seeping nuclear waste.
Yeah. Yeah.
The governor of Washington says, news of six leaking tanks at Hanford raises serious questions about the integrity of all single tanks.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. Raises a lot more questions, too, while we're at it. But, you know, but nuclear power has to be part of our future energy portfolio, right?
Well, that's what the president says. But he's got me so, I mean, not him, but, you know, this situation has got me so spooked that Ms. Angrian is telling me to come back where I belong and not to be over there, you know, over here anymore because,
yeah, don't,
you know, this is bad.
Yeah, what was the old...
I mean, we stopped eating fish completely behind this.
Yeah. What was the old country song? Don't come home a drinking with loving on your mind. Well, don't come home a glowing either.
Yeah, but can we really avoid that?
I don't know. It's beginning to look like Randy in PA just wrote a question and he said, I can't yet determine if all tuna fish is unsafe from Fukushima. No info is available on the internet.
That's right. He's right. My wife works in the food industry, and we just decided that we're not going to eat fish anymore. We changed our diet completely because of the way
But you know, Angry, listen. This is whether it's radiation or some various the entire food supply is corrupted and largely tainted, if not outright poisoned. By virtue of these profiteers, I got a headline in front of me right now. Sausage recalled. Now,
yeah.
You know, for the vegetarians in the audience, this isn't going to be so critical. But for me, you know, it's a life issue. Sausage recalled. 38,000 pounds may contain plastic.
Plastic. Yeah.
Now this comes from the Smithfield Packing Company, and frankly, they own all kinds of different brands. We went over them on the show one night. It's like there's 100 brands they own or something. The pork sausage products have been recalled because they may contain small pieces of plastic. The company's indicated that plastic may be from gloves. I don't care. Okay. And that's supposed to mitigate it? It's from gloves. Cases containing...
What they're trying to say is that if it was condom latex, then it'd be something to worry about. But since it's just work gloves, don't be concerned.
Right. But I learned a new word here. You know, I always thought you bought sausage in a roll. No, they have declared 1 pound chubs. It's called a chub. And somehow that just sounds nasty. 1 pound chubs of Gwaltney mild pork sausage roll with a use by date of March 12, 2013, and they give the code. All the products were distributed on January 11th and were distributed in the following states: Alabama, District of Columbia, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, North Carolina, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, and Texas.
And I guarantee you, everybody that's buying that food stuff, because it's not really food, is of the lowest economic ladder.
Sure.
You know, I mean, the lowest rungs on this ladder, because, you know, those that have money are not eating. They're shopping at Whole Foods and giving that cat his, you know, their money.
So yeah, turn around. Yeah, that crazy bastard.
No, oh, I mean, he's probably laughing about all of this, but it's not funny. You know, you're totally correct. Everyone's food is completely damaged. And in Appalachia, you already have environmental problems. So if people who really don't have very much to spend, which is, I assume, the people in your area and where I live, you know, what are we supposed to do? You know, when you have mystery meat and you can't afford real meat, what do? You start looking at Soil and Green and wondering, is this really happening?
And unfortunately, it is.
It is.
Well, I mean, you know. No, I'm go ahead, please.
No, I was going to say, you know, sci-fi has shown us all of this, from Logan's Run, THX-1138, Children of Men, Soil and Green. It's not that we didn't see the future, it's just nobody wanted to take it seriously. We all chose to ignore it.
Right. You know, that thing from that shot of Beijing from a couple of weeks ago, where we saw the city absolutely with the giant tower with the giant jumbotron on it. It was straight out of Blade Runner.
Mm.
And, you know, I remember seeing that. I was a very young man, took a beautiful young woman to the movies with me, you know, date night, whatever. And we sat and watched that, and it's a brilliant film. But the dystopian, you know, because that's, you know, that's basically set in a time when it's urban sprawl all the way from the Bay Area to San Diego. And it's always raining, and it's always smoggy, and it's always dark, and it's always dank. And well, you know, Beijing.
Well, it was, what was it, 2025 or 26 in the film?
And it's pretty close on, because the guy who wrote the original story behind it was a brilliant author named Philip K. Dick, who died before his time. And it comes from a short story called Do Robots Dream of Electric Sheep?
I thought it was androids.
Or maybe it is androids. But either way, same thing. You know, some people just have a vision for this, because I think in a way they're able to look forward and understand where these corporate impulses take us. Folks like Brother Albert, who looks into the future, he sees where individual vision can take us. But Monsanto, you know, the major extractive industries, the oil companies, they're taking us to Blade Runner. Hey, Angry, I wish the conversation had been longer, but I hope we'll do it again. I'm going to try to get one more call in here before the evening.
All right, peace out, bro.
All right, later, man. Bye. Our buddy, the Angry Indian. You can find out more by checking out Aboriginal News Group, more of his work. Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, a media project of the Intelligent Aboriginal News Service. Just look it up. And, let's get one more call in here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Preston.
Well, Preston, long time no talk to. How are you? I'm sorry the time's so short.
That's okay. It has been too long, and I'll be calling back in sometime next week, I hope. It was great to hear the voices I did catch this evening. I appreciated what Angry was talking about, that Hanford leak is really heartbreaking. Helen Callicott, Talking Stick TV, they've been doing a lot of work on this, and my prayers go out. But there's regeneration always going on, too. And here in Denver, we had a beautiful climate rally. And, you know, I'm not so optimistic that it will fix so many things going wrong, but, you know, we have our moments. And
that's the thing. There are glimpses. There are glimpses, Preston, of what the future can be. And we need to midwife that into existence before, you know, ExxonMobil aborts the planet.
Right. Exactly.
Well, hopefully next week I'll get to hear back from, and we'll get to have a better conversation of greater length. Unfortunately, I'm right up against it. But do call in again, please, soon.
I will do that.
All right. Take care, Preston.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Time to get out of here. Not even really time for the credits. Thank you, everyone. We are now only $30 away from meeting Dr. Allen's challenge. Hopefully we can do that and get to where we need to be by the end of the weekend. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. Thanks to Coal River Mountain Watch. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you. Hey, y'all, here comes Rick Smith on the horn.